జయం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజరాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి నిత్యలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజరాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంతకోడి వైష్ణవ వృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీద్వైద గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోవినాద శ్యామగుండ రాధా గుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి వృందావన ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త వృందకి గోవర్ ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద్ నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూగలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని దినామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజాని నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతీ అష్టాదశాధ్యాయిని అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి నమోస్తు దేవ్యాస విశాలబుద్ధే పుల్లారవిందాయుధ పత్రనేత్ర ఏన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న భార్యాదాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకవాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దోగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్స సుదీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవ సుతం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం భీష్మద్రోణతటాజయద్రజల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ మహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వథామా వికర్ణఘోరమగర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సుతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణనదీ ఖైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమమలం జీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానక కేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహరః పేబీయమానం ముదా భూయా భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాదమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మావరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్యోంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్వేదై సాంగపదై క్రమోపనిషదైర్గాయంతి యం సమగాః ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యంతి యం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద సో కృష్ణ స్టార్టెడ్ అశోచ్యాన్ అన్యశోచస్త్వం ఇట్ ప్రజ్ఞావాదాంశ భాషసే గదాసు నిగదాసుంశ్చ నాని శోచంది పండితాహ వైల్ స్పీకింగ్ లెర్నెడ్ వర్డ్స్ యువర్ మోర్నింగ్ ఫర్ వాట్ ఈస్ నాట్ వర్తి ఆఫ్ గ్రీఫ్ దోస్ హు వైస్ లామెంట్ నైదర్ ఫర్ ద లివింగ్ నాట్ ఫర్ ద డెడ్ సో కృష్ణస్ ఫస్ట్ పాయింట్ ఈస్ దాట్ దెర్ ఇస్ నో పాయింట్ ఇన్ వరీయింగ్ అబౌట్ ఆర్ గ్రీవింగ్ అబౌట్ పీపుల్ హు కమ్ అండ్ పీపుల్ హు ఆర్ లీవింగ్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ నాట్ టు వరీ అబౌట్ దమ్ ఆర్ గ్రీవ్ అబౌట్ దమ్ దట్స్ ద ఫస్ట్ పాయింట్ గదాసు నగదాసుంశ్చ నాని శోచంది పండితాహ పీపుల్ విల్ కమ్ పీపుల్ విల్ గో ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ అండ్ థింకింగ్ అబౌట్ దమ్ అండ్ వరింగ్ అబౌట్ దమ్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ ఈజ్ అవిద్య ఫస్ట్ థింగ్ సెకండ్లీ హీ సెడ్ నత్వైవాహం జాతు నాశం నత్వం నేమే జనాదివ నైవన్ భవిష్యామ సర్వం వయమతపరం హీ మెన్షన్ దేర్ దాట్ బేసికలీ త్రూ దాట్ వర్డ్స్ కృష్ణ బ్రాట్ బ్యాక్ ది త్రీ ఫేమస్ మహావాక్యం ఫ్రమ్ ఉపనిషత్స్ అహం బ్రహ్మాస్మి అండ్ తత్వమసి అండ్ ఐఎమ్ ఆత్మబ్రహ్మం సో ఈ సెడ్ దట్ దెర్ వాజ్ నో టైమ్ ఐ డింట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ నాట్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ నాట్ ది ఫ్యూచర్ ఎనీ ఆఫ్ అస్ సీస్ టు బి పర్టికులర్లీ కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ దట్ చైతన్యం ఆల్వేస్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ బేసికలీ దాట్స్ అ ప్రిన్సిపల్ చైతన్యం ఆల్వేస్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ దెర్ ఇస్ నో టైమ్ అండ్ చైతన్యం డింట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ దెన్ ఆఫ్టర్ దాట్ కృష్ణ సెడ్ దట్ ది దేహినోస్మిన్ యథా దేహి He divided them into body and the soul. യഥാദേഹേ കൗമാരം യൗവനം ജര തഥാ ദേഹാന്തര പ്രാപ്തി ധീരസ്തത്ര നമുഖ്യതി. കൃഷ്ണസ് പോയിന്റ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ദി ബോഡി ഈസ് ഓൾവേസ് ചേഞ്ചിങ്. ഇറ്റ്സ് എ നേച്ചർ ഓഫ് ദ ബോഡി ടു കണ്ടിന്യൂസ്ലി ചേഞ്ച്. സോ ദെയർഫോർ യു ഷുഡൻറ്റ് വറി അബൌട്ട് ഇറ്റ്. ഇറ്റ് വാസ് ബോൺ, ഇറ്റ് കെപ് ഗ്രോയിങ്, ഇറ്റ് കെപ് ചേഞ്ചിങ്, ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ബൈ പ്രോഡക്ട്സ് ആൻഡ് ഇറ്റ് സ്റ്റേസ് ഫോർ സം ടൈം, ദെൻ സ്റ്റാർട്സ് ഡീകേ ആൻഡ് ഇവൻച്വലി ഇൻ ഡെത്ത്. So that's a cycle, that's a cycle for which the body is designed on that cycle basis. So therefore on deham you don't worry, but dehi never goes through any changes, always steady. So step by step Krishna is taking us to that reality of tada dehandra praptir dhiras tatrana mukhyadi. Again, one should not grieve or cry about these changes, what is happening in the body. Then he spoke about matrasparshastu kaundeya shidoshna sukadukhada agam apayino anityam tam tadikshasa bharata. His point was that the heat and cold, happiness and distress, one should accept it in life and develop tadiksha from that. It is meant for that, to accept happiness and distress and to accept heat and cold, and is meant for developing tidiksha inside. It's a quality Krishna has given us to utilize it properly and not fight against it. And that's where things go wrong. Krishna is saying that I have given heat and cold, happiness and distress, so that you can develop this quality of tidiksha. And if you develop that quality of tidiksha, Krishna says, the mind won't wobble then again. It will be unaffected by the changes in the conditions. And which means that ragadvesham won't develop from that. Ragadvesham develops because we have attachment for sukham and we hate dukham. Or we like happiness, we hate distress. If this mind inside, then ragadvesham will come, Krishna says that. So as an introduction to that, Krishna said this verse. That so that ragadvesham don't develop, for that you have to develop tidiksha. And for that, you have to deal equally with heat and cold and happiness and distress. Heat and cold is one aspect, but happiness and distress is all the aspects in life. So he spoke that in the 14th chapter. Then he said that yamhinam vidayandiyam purusham purusharshava samadukha sukham dhiram somratatvaya kalpade, that samam dukham, sukham dukham, that is amratatvam. One who has developed that tidiksha, he will have that situation, samadukha sukham. Samadukha sukham dhiram somradatvaya kalpade. If he has developed that quality, then Krishna says he is ready for liberation then. Somradatvaya kalpade. Because that quality we haven't developed, which is lacking very seriously in us, and therefore we have big problems. That in spiritual life, we are battling, doing chanting, doing this, doing that, so many things we are doing, but it's not having any effect. Why? Because this tidiksha hasn't come strongly enough in us, right? So therefore that 15th verse was spoken. And as an example, I mentioned last Sunday that Ramdas story. The sannyasi came to his ashram and what he did there. So Ramdas felt that he has, it was useless, all what he has been doing with all these. People are doing things like this without thinking about it. What is this for ultimately? Puja, deity worship, japam, everything is ultimately to recognize the presence of Krishna in all living entities. If that has not happened, means it has not served the purpose. So that's what very clear indication of that. So so he said that the when the sannyasi behaved like that, got angry with others and started losing his temper with them, Ramdas couldn't tolerate that. He took out everything and threw it in the well and said, now that's enough, you stop your deity worship, he said. So puja, everything is, the ultimate goal is that this mind inside us, which is nothing but Maya's creation, that should go and dissolve in the andaryam. Ultimately, if the mind goes away, then all these problems are solved. This ragadvesham, kartrutva, bhoktrutvam, this is all in the mind. So that's why mind has to get destroyed. So, so, and tattvajnanam means, tattvadarshanam means, seeing this Krishna's presence in everything, Brahmadarshanam, Satyam Yad Brahmadarshanam. In the Bhagavadam also it says that. Yeah, Satyam Yad Brahmadarshanam. Sarvakhalidam Brahmam. So seeing this Satya Darshanam or Brahmam in every Brahmadarshanam, what is the secret behind that? That is the next verse. Nasato vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada, ubhayorabhi drishtandam, sanayor tattva darshibhi. First thing, asata. Asata has no bhavam, and sata has no abhavam. You know what that means? That means that if something that is not real, it has no existence. In real terms, it has no existence. If something is not real, asata, it has no bhavam, means it has no existence. Similarly, if something is real, you cannot take away its existence. It is always existing. This principle, first thing, asata has no bhavam, sata has no abhavam. That means non-existent thing, temporary things, has no reality. Temporary things has no reality. Permanent things is always real. Permanent thing is always real, and you cannot take away its reality from that. That's all it is. That's all. Na sato vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. And this principle, if you have properly understood, it will benefit a lot in spiritual life. If this principle is gone in deeply inside, that permanent thing has always existence. If something is permanent, means it's real. If something is temporary, means it's unreal. That's the principle. Nasado vidyade bhavo. This one verse, you have to do a lot of reflection on that. In life itself, every stage, that will make you realize that how much avidya is inside us. That ignorance in us, right? So, first of all, we'll be discussing this one verse today, nothing else. You see, this verse is so important that we have to get that inside somehow. Somehow or the other, we have to get it inside. And it has to stay also, so it doesn't leave us. Because it is on this, the whole Bhagavad Gita is constructed on this principle. Tattva darshibhi, Krishna is stressing that point there, right? So, satta, asata, two things, right? So from in tattvam, tattviya level, that means from Vedantam point of view, we'll discuss that first, right? After that, we will come to our practical life in this world. First on the tattvam side, what that means, right? If you look at the whole world, creation itself, right? Everything is changing here, isn't it? Everything is changing, right? Think about it. Right from the sun, the moon, everything. They are also going through the changes. Only thing is over a long period of time. Other things are changing. Some of them are very quick changing. Trees, plants, creepers and all that. But planets also changing. Similarly, sun, moon and all others are also changing. And right from the smallest amoeba, the worm, right up to the sun, everything is changing, right? What is a symptom of a sata? Sata means that which does not change under any circumstances forever, and that is called a sata. That's what is called sata. So, here you will see that yad vishaya buddhi na vyabhicharadi tat sat. Yad vishaya buddhi vyabhicharadi tad asat. This is the Acharya Swami's bhashyam on that. He says, yad vishaya buddhi na vyabhicharadi tat sat. Yad vishaya buddhi vyabhicharadi tad asat. Iti sadasad vibhage buddhi tandre sthite. So here he's saying that these three states, past, present, and the future, in all these three things, what does it, in all these three times, past, present, and the future, what does not change, that is sattva. That is sattva. Example, you have manufactured a pot with clay, and initially you had clay, sufficient clay to make 10 pots, right? And you made 10 pots out of the clay what you had. Now there is no clay anymore. All the clay ran out because you made the pots out of that. What is existing now? Only the pot. You got the pots, right? Then you smashed all the pots and now there is no pots at all. Everything has become clay. So initially there was clay, then it became pots. Now that has become clay again when you have smashed them down, right? Now, in all these three states, the clay existed. All the three states, clay existed, right? And when it was in the form of pot, it was still clay there, but it was in the form of pot. But when you smashed it, it has come back to its original started form of clay again. So even though these three states existed, the truth in all these things is only clay. Clay is the reality. With this clay you are making different things, right? Clay took the form of a pot, that's all. But that shape has gone of the clay, and when that when it takes a shape, you don't call it as clay anymore, you call it as a pot, right? So what you have done is, you have given a name to it and for a form, what the clay has taken. Clay has taken a form, and you have given, for that form, you have given a name to it, right? But what is that? That has not changed in all these things. When there was a pot or when there was clay, it was always clay, earth. It was always earth, right? And even if you smash it down, it is still earth, right? Similarly, everything in this creation has come from bodham, consciousness, come from consciousness. And from bodham, namarupam comes. Just like from the clay, pots have come, you gave them a name. In the same way, from consciousness, all namarupams have come, names and forms have come, and they are there existing because bodham is there. All namarupams are existing because there is bodham behind it. Chaitanyam, bodham exists. That is why namarupam, just like when the clay was there, clay is the foundation. Or the basis. But clay has taken different forms, and then you started calling it as a pot or as something else, whatever you have made out of it. But ultimately clay is required for all that thing. In the same way, consciousness is required for all namarupams to come in this world. Any namarupam, doesn't matter. Living entities like human species or animals, birds, bees, whatever it may be, or even other things as well. So they all come from namarupam, all comes from names and forms. If you remember like that, it's much easier. Namarupam is the right word. Namarupam comes from bodham, consciousness. And in consciousness is there, only namarupam will stay. And eventually namarupam goes back to consciousness again. That is the principle, right? So namam rupam is this world. Namarupam is the world, what we are perceiving actually, right? If you take the namarupam from this world, there is no world anymore. All namarupam, everything, that includes moving, non-moving, everything in this creation is all namarupam only. If you take namarupam away from that, then there is no world. So this Namarupam, what we call it as, is Asat. Namarupam is Asat, right? What actually exists is only Bodham, that is Sat. So if you take away Namarupam from here, we will say, oh, it doesn't exist anymore, right? If you want to see me properly, you have to take the Namarupam away from me. Only then you can see me really. You can see me only. See me means you can experience my existence. So that is the question. Namarupam covers its original identity. Original identity. Our actual identity is now covered by Namarupam. We have got a Rupam and it has got a Namam. Because of that. Small example. One father brought an elephant for a child, wooden elephant to play with. You can buy elephant made of wood. And children like to sit on top of that. They feel that they're sitting on the elephant. And they play with that, right? So the child got very happy after getting the elephant. And the child got on top of the elephant. And he is feeling that he is riding the elephant. He is getting their happiness from that, right? So for the child, it's an elephant, only elephant. He's not bothered whether it's wood or whether it's a... He thinks that Ramarupam, the Rupam has impacted him so much that it is an elephant's Rupam and he's happy with that. Yeah. After some time, a carpenter comes there. He sees that. And when he looked at it, he's not bothered about the elephant part of it. He wanted to know what wood is this made of. Carpenter's mind goes in that way. What kind of wood has been used? So when he looked at it, it is first-class rosewood. You know, rosewood is very expensive. And making good furniture, they make with the rosewood, isn't it? In the olden days, I don't know now, it's all different. So olden days, when there was no duplicity like today with all the kinds of things what we do with the wood, in them days, rosewood was very expensive. And rosewood was shipped from India here to make the furniture in the palace here. That was normal at those days. So rosewood was so expensive because it lasts longer and it doesn't get termites and all that. Yeah. So nothing happens. It can last for hundreds of years. So he wanted to check it out whether it is rosewood or not, the wood. So the only way he can find it out is he brought one of his chisel and started a little bit scratch it. Then they will know that, carpenters, whether it is rosewood or not, right? So when he looked at it with his chisel and he found out that what wood it is made of, and when that happened, he didn't see the elephant in that. He only saw the wood, what was used in that. So what has happened now? A carpenter is looking at it one way and he is seeing something. The child is looking at it in another way and he is seeing something different. Same Namarupam, right? Similarly, Ishvara also, Krishna, that is covered. Krishna is that Bodham. Krishna is that Bodham. That Bodham or awareness, Chaitanyam, is now covered by this world which is made of material elements. Five material elements, Panchabhudatmakam. So Panchabhudatmakam means these five material elements, that is this world which creates all this Namarupam. Panchabhudam are the ingredient with which is Namarupams are made. And this is covering that Chaitanyam inside everyone, which is one Chaitanyam, that is called as Bodham or Chaitanyam, Brahmam, whichever way you call that, it is one. So what are we seeing now when we look at it? We are not seeing Ishvara or Chaitanyam, Krishna. We are seeing there men, women, family, friends, enemies, then people whom you like, whom you don't like, and people whom you know, whom you don't know. In this way, with a different perceptions we are seeing the world now. See our avidya inside. Bodham, Chaitanyam is the real vastu. On this Panchabhudatmaka world is covering it. And we are seeing this Namarupam and thinking that this is real. This is real, right? So, so whatever we are seeing is not the real darshanam, not proper darshanam, right? Everything is seen with some superimposition on that, aropanam. We are imposing on the five material elements, which has got all this namarupam, on which we are given the name for different things, and that's what we are seeing every moment, all the time. We are perceiving that, right? So, what Krishna is going to say now is that if you are able to see the thing without chittavritti, without thought waves inside, then that is your proper see. That means you will see the Ishvara in this. What Namarupam creates is chittavritti. It creates chittavritti in us. And once chittavritti comes inside, you can only see Namarupam. So therefore, chittavritti has to stop. That means the mind has to stop working. If mind stops working, if chittavrittis are not developing, then you will see the real vastu inside, which is Chaitanyam, not the Namarupam. Panchabhudatmakam, you won't see it. Instead, you will see the Chaitanyam inside. So, if you are able to look at that elephant now, wooden elephant, without any chittavritti, first of all, we'll look at it. Is the, if it is a rosewood or teak wood or whatever it is. And the businessman will look at it, you'll think that, oh, it's teak wood, it's expensive, or rosewood, whatever it may be, right? Or you can see that if I get this big piece of wood, I could make some good furniture from that. So, or table or chair, whatever it is, or you can use for rafters or creepers, or things like that, right? So, all these things are interpretation on that teak wood, interpretation of that. So when you see something in this world, everything when you see in this world, immediately our chittavritti will develop inside. Some chittavritti will come. For example, if I look at this table, what will I come to my mind first thing? Is hard plastic. And you will start thinking how strong it is. And what is it made of? Where did that come from? And a lot of chittavritti will straight away come onto the top of that. Right? Chittavritti means thought waves will come. So if chittavritti comes, then you're trapped straight away. You're trapped on that. Right? So this is what is called in Shastram Kalushyam. The word used is Kalushyam. Kalushyam means that. Right? Not Kamam Krotham. Kamam Krotham is different. Here, this chittavritti coming up like that is called kalushyam. So, this conditioning we have like this, it's a very difficult conditioning to break through. Like this. Anything you see, immediately it forms some thought waves inside, straight away. Whether it's a mic, whether it's plastic thing or a bottle or sweet or mobile phones or anything, it creates an impression. If I see these turtles, immediately I'll see, is it a good one? Or how good is it? You start thinking about it that way. Bhagavad Gita, if I take it, I'll say, which edition is this, 1972 or after? Or has it been edited or not? All this kind of thoughts will naturally come to you in that way. So, this thoughts coming up like this on anything. Similarly, when you meet people, what happens? Straight away you will think about him in one way or the other. He's good, he's bad, or he's friendly, or he's unfriendly. Is man or woman, this way. So, and this is called conditioning. This is called conditioning. And it is because of this only problem that we have suffering in this world. Most of the suffering is coming from that, right? If you are able to take away this conditioning from inside of seeing things without creating chittavritti inside and able to remain like that, that is called Brahmamayam. This is Upanishad's straight point on that, right? Then you are seeing actually Krishna there. If this chitta, without chittavritti, if you can see things in this world, anything, then it is Brahmamayam. Brahmamayam, right? So, the world what we are seeing is the same world what realized souls are also seeing. They are also seeing the same world, right? But they will say everything is Brahmamayam. And for us, it is Ragadvesham. Everything is Ragadvesham. Ragadvesha Kalusham, they say like that. Ragadvesha Kalusham. Full of Ragadvesham. Something, anything. For example, I look at that chair, plastic chairs. I start thinking how strong it is. If I sit, will it crack? How long will it last? All thoughts will come from that. Same thing, anything you take it, there is some thoughts it creates straight away inside us. And as long as these thoughts are coming inside, means there is Ragadvesham. Ragadvesham inside, right? First, I might sometimes look at its color. And probably I'll think, oh, better color would have been another color. These colors are very nice. I will get an impression inside me, right? Just for example, a person got jaundice. You know jaundice, don't you? If you get jaundice, what happens is, when you look at things, everything looks yellowish. Everything looks yellowish, right? Similarly, this creation also, in the same way, with our ragadvesham, we are seeing that. Ragadvesha kalusham, right? Ragadvesham. Why is it like that? If you inquire about that, even the science is saying to us the same, similar to this, what the modern science is also saying, but not exactly like the way Vedantam is saying, in a different way. They will say, this is all not, mic is not there really, or the table is not there, it's all, they are saying it's protons, electrons, neutrons and all that, all kinds of things they say, don't they? And we are seeing this mic, and people have got studied the physics and all that. They will say there's a lot of vibration happening inside. You know, the scientists, how they talk. Their language is different, isn't it? They'll say all these things. Vedantam is saying, now, difference between science and the Vedantam. Vedantam is saying there is no electron, proton, neutron and all that, vibration and all that. What actually exists is consciousness, Chaitanyam. Consciousness, Chaitanyam, right? In Chaitanyam, you are seeing all these things. You are superimposing all these things in Chaitanyam. And this superimposition has increased and increased and increased. And that is how it has come in this form, in this world. And that is what he is saying here, Asata and Sata. Chaitanyam is Sata. Everything that it has transformed into different forms, names and forms, is all Asata. Is all Asata. Asata means Namarupam, name and form. Namarupam appears and Namarupam disappears. It doesn't stay. And that is what Krishna is saying here. Agamapayino anityaha. Yeah? So Namarupam, before Namarupam came, what existed was only Sata. Just another example. The rope you have seen lying there in the twilight, right? And that there the rope is Sata, the snake is the Asata. When you saw the rope lying there, you mistook it as snake. So that's Asata, right? So, you saw the snake in the rope, right? Whereas if it was completely dark, you wouldn't have seen anything. And if it was very bright, also you wouldn't have seen anything. You'd have seen it properly as a rope. If it was very bright enough, you'd have seen it as rope. If it was totally dark, you wouldn't have seen the rope either. Right? So, in Vedantam, they will call it as Manda Andhagaram. Manda Andhagaram. That means you are half darkness. A kind of half darkness. Right? And that kind of knowledge is, I don't know how to translate this, in English you can say half-baked knowledge, you know, okay. Not proper knowledge, some kind of mixed up conditions inside, half-baked thing, is that situation. In the middle, not pure knowledge, proper knowledge, but some kind of messed up knowledge in that twilight when you're seeing that. Dark, not fully dark, but half darkness, and then you're misunderstanding it as a snake, right? So, and this half-baked knowledge is the whole problem in the world, right? And how in that half darkness, half light, you saw the snake, and what happened? You started immediately crying, saying that the snake is there. And you say, oh, it has lifted its hood, and it has shown its hood towards me, right? And sometimes it has bitten me in this way. And sometimes it can even create poison inside, right? But then when you brought a torch and lighted on that, it was just a rope. Or it was a garland lying there. So it is either that garland or the rope what you have seen as the snake, what you have seen as the snake. Similarly, this satta and asatta is mixed up in the world. When you are now perceiving the world, this satta and asatta is totally mixed up. And that is why we are like this, the way we are, right? So, and whichever way, if you look at that, for example, if you see the elephant, you don't see the wood. And when you see the wood, you don't see the elephant. You don't see both at the same time. The child saw the elephant. He didn't see the wood. The carpenter saw the wood. He didn't see the elephant. Because he was not interested. That's what it is, right? So, eventually when you inquire about it, it is made of wood. Similarly, in this world, if you inquire ultimately everything, what ultimately remaining is only consciousness, both, right? Only consciousness will remain. In consciousness, all namarupam is superimposition. All namarupam is superimposition, right? And because everything is made of the same consciousness, I know it's a bit, you know, examples also, you can't take it 100% with the real truth. It's closer to the truth, that's all. This example of elephant and the wood and the carpenter and the child is not 100% like that. You know, because this is consciousness you are dealing with. Consciousness transforms into all these names and forms in this world, right? And you can see this in the Bhagavatam very clearly. You know, in the fifth canto, when they wanted to discuss about the hellish planets, yeah? Hellish planets, right? And hellish planets was discussed at the end of the fifth canto, one whole chapter. Fifth canto, if you look at it, the whole chapter was spoken, and at the end, the last chapter, he called it as the hellish planets, right? Naraka Varnana, Narakani Varnanam Nama, Shadvimshati Tamodhyaya, it says, fifth canto, right? So, when he discussed these hellish planets, prior to that, he spoke about Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying there that in the form of hellish planets, in the form of heavenly planets, in the form of all the planetary systems, everything, all galaxies were discussed in that canto, fifth canto, right? Then Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying, when we are talking about consciousness, when we are talking about consciousness, it is not possible to discuss heavenly planet and hellish planets, he is saying here, right? Because ultimately everything is Vishnu, means consciousness. Everything is Vishnu. Hellish planets is Vishnu. Heavenly planets is Vishnu. Whatever I am seeing here is all Vishnu. And in order to establish that, he says, I have spoken all these things not with the idea of making you understand what hellish planets is, what heavenly planets is. The idea behind that was in order to say to you that all of them are not real. What is satya and asatya? That difference I just wanted to carry out, he says, because all other things are continuously changing, therefore they are asatya, whether it is hellish planets or heavenly planets, right? And everything, that is why the last words you see, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Parikshit, Shobhramashi is saying this to Parikshit. Buddhiva varsha saririd abhinav samudram padala bhinaragabhagana loka samstaha gidamaya tavanurva albhudamishwarasya stulam vapu sagala jivanikaya dhama. This one verse, if you analyze that verse, you will understand. He says, sakala jivanikaya dhama. Whatever what was spoken till the end of this fifth canto was only for one purpose, to make you understand that sakala jiva nikaya dhamma, consciousness alone is the reality. Bhu dviva varsha sarit adri napha samudram. All different mountains, oceans, and different planetary systems. Padalabhi narakya bhagana loka samstha. Whatever the world we have discussed, all of that is, he says, Gidamaya tava nirupa albhudam ishwarasya. How Chaitanyam has transformed in all these different forms. How Chaitanyam has transformed itself in all these different forms. Stulam vabhu. This is its gross form only. And sakala jivanikaya dhamma. All consciousness transformation is nothing but in all these manifestations of heavenly planets, hellish planets, and earthly planets, everything. All planetary systems is nothing but a transformation of that original consciousness. He wanted to establish that. It is for that purpose that verse was spoken. This is after talking about heavenly planets, hellish planets and everything. He is saying this, Stulam Vabhu, this is its gross body, he is saying. This creation is its gross form. Sakala Jiva Nikaya Dhamma. It is all dependent on that pure consciousness. Sakala Jiva Nikaya Dhamma. So, and that is how that hellish planets chapter finishes there. So, so everything is changing, and one thing to from that you have to understand this. If everything is changing, for you to notice that, you have to be in a state where something is not changing. Otherwise, it's not possible. Suppose I am changing and I am looking at somebody else is changing. My vision is not correct. If I have to actually register the change that is happening somewhere, I have to be in a state where I am not changing. This is a basic principle, the very fundamental principle. It's like that. So you have to be situated in a place where no change is happening. Only from there you can notice the change happening somewhere else. Otherwise it is not possible, right? Just like another example, they give you examples for all these things. When two trains are in one railway station, in two different tracks, they are standing next to each other, two trains. You are sitting in one train, and the other train started moving. And what do you feel? You started thinking your train has started moving. Is it not? Similarly, so you can see, only if you are static, you will know that the other train is moving. Otherwise, you can't notice it. You have to be... So if you look at this side, the train is moving. If you look at the other side, you are stationary here. You must have experienced all these things. In India, you will notice all the time trains. Two trains, one next to park each other. You looked at one side, the train is moving, and you start thinking your train has started moving. But when you looked on the platform, you see your train is stable there, stationary there, in the same way, right? So, in the same way, when this world is changing, we are thinking that we are also changing. Actually, we are not changing. Body is changing. For us, the Antaryami, our actual identity, there is no change happening there, right? So, but because if we are changing, then you won't be able to notice that change. It is very subtle thing this is. To capture it, you have to put a little bit effort to understand this. You see, When you see things changing, how do you notice that change? Only because Antaryami, your actual Antaryami inside, is able to give you a feeling that it is changing. Because Antaryami is Sata. That is why you are able to notice that change happening in the other. Suppose you are changing, like the Vastu is changing, you won't be able to notice that. You see what I'm saying? Because the your actual identity, the Antaryami, which is our Atma, that is not changing. And that is why you are able to notice the change, what is happening in the... You see, for people who are very gross, they will see only through the eyes. But Shastram will always see from Atma's position. Atma operating everything, isn't it? Atma is the central command, controlling the senses, mind, intelligence, ego, everything is all controlled from there. So for Atma, because of Atma's presence inside, that is why you are able to notice the changes that is happening in the world, right? So from that, Krishna is saying, you are that Vastu which doesn't change. Only Krishna can say with such a confidence this statement. Because for people like us, we won't understand it even properly, what Krishna means by that. Krishna is saying to us, because you are Sat, which doesn't change, that is the reason why you are able to see, notice the changes happening in the world. When you look at the children, they are changing, growing up, getting old. World is changing. Everything is changing. Where is this power coming from to be able to notice that change? That's because your Atma, which is permanent, which is Sat, because Sat is there, therefore you are able to see the changes in the Asat. That's the principle. Because you are Sat, therefore the changes in the Asat is noticeable. Just like we mentioned before, that the changes you can notice only from a position where you are not changing. From there only you can notice the changes happening elsewhere. That's the underlying principle. Think about it, you will understand the depth of that statement, what Krishna has said, right? So, another example, the screen and the movie. You have the screen and the movie is running on that, right? Suppose if the film is running, suppose if the screen also started running along with that, what will happen? There won't be any movie, is it not? Because the screen is not running, it is stable, stationary. Therefore, you can see the cinema, what is running on the screen. In the same way, so therefore, screen is Sata, but the cinema is Asata. But in real terms, screen is also Asata. This is only, that's what I'm saying. All these examples, you can only take it up to say 90% is correct. Because material examples you are using for conveying a spiritual principle. So there is always problem. All examples are like that. Whether it is a rope and snake or whether it is screen and the cinema. And the same way. Yeah. So screen is Sata, cinema is Asata. And in cinema you will see so many different things. Happiness and distress. You will see marriage happening in the cinema. You will see death happening in the cinema. Sometimes you will see some building catching fire in the cinema, right? But even though all these things are happening, the screen is not affected. Screen remains the same, right? So, and when you see that cinema, why you are not affected by that? That's because you know that cinema is Asat. Inside you, you are conscious of that. Cinema is Asat. And therefore, and how did you know that it was Asat? Because that cinema wasn't there before you started watching the film. And 2.5 hours, 3 hours you watched that. And then after that the cinema stops. So therefore it is Asat. Therefore it's Asat, right? Only in the middle you saw this whole thing, right? That's all. So Gaudapada Acharya, who was the Shukabrahmarshi's direct disciple, Gaudapada Acharya, he says this, that Ado Anteja Yato Nasti. Yeah. What what is not there in the beginning and what is not at the end, even if you start seeing that in the middle, actually it doesn't exist. In the Brahadaranyam commentary, he says this. Gaudapadacharya says this, right? That's the rule. That is the rule. In the sense that what is not there in the beginning, and what is not there, what is there in the beginning, and what is there at the end, only exists in the middle also. Nothing else comes there, right? Even if something that is not there in the beginning, and something that is not there at the end, even if something you saw in the middle, it has no reality. It has no. You can say it either way. Put it that way, right? That is the rule. So that is the definition of asatya, right? Asatya doesn't mean that it totally doesn't exist. That's not what it means, right? So they'll say, give example. This is all Vedantam examples, right? For if you look at the rabbit, has got its what do you call
horns,
yeah? And nobody has seen the horns of the rabbit, but we will say like that, right? Or you can say, in the desert, you saw the water, Maru Marichika, right? You are very thirsty, and you saw water somewhere far away, and you ran there to get the water. So a river is flowing there, very clear water. But you took your bucket and went there to get the water. When you got there is no water there. That's called Maru Marichika, right? Mirage. That means it is not real. It's not real. You felt that there is water, and you went all the way there, and then you came back, and then you looked, there is still water there. But when you got there was no water. This is normal examples given like that, right? So, similarly, everything what you are perceiving through senses, actually senses are cheating us. Senses are cheating us, right? And and therefore, that is all asatya. And none of them existed in the beginning. None of them will exist at the end. They will all get destroyed. But in the middle, you are seeing that, and therefore it is asatya. In the middle, when you are accepting them as though they are real, you still have to realize that actually they don't exist, even though you are experiencing it in the world, right? So sometimes people will go to watch a cinema. They'll say, I have a lot of problems at home, tension, pressure, stress at home. Here you got, before, I'm talking about time when we had no television. In India, it was like that. Cinema theatres were the only shelter to get your mind off your problems of life. So people go to films, and they'll watch the film. Some of the film will be tragedy, heavy tragedy, it will be there, right? And after seeing this movie, they'll come home crying, after say emotionally affected by the movie, and they'll come home crying, right? And then what will do? Next day again they'll go to watch the same movie the day before that they came home crying, right? So they know that that is not real. They know that it is not real because it's a movie, isn't it? So, and therefore they are not affected by the distress of that. But still when they see the movie, it has an impact on them, right? So they get some distress from that by seeing the movie. But inside they know it's not real. It's only a movie, isn't it? They can also analyze it, but they enjoy that distress what they get. It's a kind of enjoyment for them, distress. Some people are there. They enjoy distress, you know. It's not all very straightforward like that. Some people, a lot of distress comes, they take it on board and say, I enjoy that suffering in life, right? So, therefore, to such people, if you talk about the distress, they won't find any difficulty, right? Actually, distress is also not real. What it is Krishna is putting us through all these maya, expose us to all these situations, and he comes in front of us as a distressed person, dressed up like that, and it creates this emotion inside us. Basically, that's what it is. Right? So, people will ask, I've got a lot of problems in my life. What's the solution? They will ask like this, right? And that's because they have come to this world basically to get through this drama called the distress. They have come for that. In their prarabdham, it is there, and they have to go through that. But actually, from a spiritual point of view, none of them is real. Right? And in that distress also, sometimes you can see this in the people. Continuously, if you get happiness, you won't be happy. You are getting the happiness only when some distress comes in the middle. And then something good happens, you enjoy, you feel happiness from that. Suppose that distress was not there, suffering was not there, continuously happiness is coming, you won't find it enjoyable. It is the distress that's making that happiness enjoyable. These two are like that, this happiness and distress. And from Shastra's point of view, neither of them are real. Happiness or distress are not real. But they come this like in this way. Happiness, distress. So therefore you say, not too bad sometimes. Sometimes you are on the top of the world. Sometimes you're struggling for survival. Things like that, right? So this dukkham, what we are talking about, Atma inside is finding some happiness from that dukkham. That is why that dukkham is having some impact on us. I can't explain it more than that. These are all everybody's experience it is. Yeah. You will wonder sometimes that something's happened in life. I can only tell you what I know. That something happened in life, a lot of problems happened, things have gone bad, nothing is working. And suddenly something's happened and things started getting better. Every situation changes. Yeah. So that dukkham what you had, you are willing to accept it. Is it not? Why? Because sukham came afterwards. So you are saying, in your own mind I'm saying, the thoughts, the chittavritti comes like this in yourself, that distress, I've survived through that. You feel some happiness, all that. Even though it was dukkham at that time, when the sukham came, you were able to enjoy the sukham better because that dukkham was there. If dukkham wasn't there, this sukham would not have registered well with us. You know all these things, isn't it? The way I'm saying, the mind and the chittavritti inside us, what happens, right? So, he knows, many people know these things, that if a lot of distress comes in life, they know some good time is going to come later. Right at this moment, this distress is coming. And sometimes they find they welcome that distress, thinking that some happy times are going to come, right? And some people, if you tell them the solution for the distress, they won't do anything about it, right? The reason for that, they got used to this distress. They will say, even if you tell them any solution, they won't do anything. They got used to that distress, right? And they like it the way it is. All these are secrets of this drama in this world, what we have to play. This is all the secrets of the drama what we play in this world. So, in cinema or in the film, how we had that asat buddhi. Similarly, this life also is like that cinema, right? There was a time when we didn't exist, right? And that means this bodily identity and our existence the way we are now, there was a time it didn't exist. And there is going to be very soon a time when we won't exist in the way we are now. Is it not? Yes. We'll all be gone. Body will be gone. This drama will be over. So the drama started some years ago and drama lasted for some time and the drama will finish one day. So... In the middle, what you see is this drama is all this what going on now. Means this body and similarly our wife, husband, wife, children, family, all these things is a part of this drama only. It is nothing more than that. I know to come to terms with it is a bit difficult because we don't think like this normally, do we? What Krishna is saying is, the drama started some time ago. Only thing, this drama lasted longer compared to other drama. Other drama is 2-3 hours in the stage. But this drama is happening in the stage, world stage, our drama. So it started years ago, and the drama continued for some time. In that hall, happiness, distress, everything came. And one day drama finished, happiness, distress also over, and you are gone from here, right? So Krishna is saying that this body, and all other things connected with this body, wife, children, family, home, friends, society, everything is all asatal. Is all asatal, right? Now what happened when you make that statement does not mean that you shouldn't eat, you shouldn't sleep, right? But you have to deal with it like the way Krishna has seen the world. Yeah? What did Krishna do? Krishna was fighting the war, right? And Krishna was playing also with people. And he sang, he danced, and he enjoyed it. But he knows this truth very well. Krishna knows the reality well, right? That he knows that none of this is real. None of this is real. And if you know that this whole thing is not real, what is the benefit? Benefit is this, attachment won't be there. If you know that this whole thing is not real, attachment won't be there, right? That means if you know this whole thing is asata, right, then you won't develop any connection with that, right? It means inside, you won't get attached to it. You will be able to break away from that. So, therefore, just like the people go to watch the movie, they will see the movie and they will cry and then they will come home. You got to have that relationship with the world here. That's the relationship, what Krishna is saying, right? So, and like when we come back from the film theater, you know that the film is not real. And therefore, even though you enjoyed the film, of the happiness and suffering of the film, and you were affected by that to some extent, but inside, deep inside, you know it's not real. That kind of relationship, Krishna says, you have to have with this world, including wife, children, family, home, every friend, society, everything. Right? So, so with that knowledge, and that was Krishna's position, he knows nothing is real here. But he did everything more than anyone else. He was king, he fought the wars, he got involved in that, and he was going around everywhere with his army and his friends and Pandavas against the Kauravas plotting, wanted to negotiate the war. But deep inside, Krishna knows nothing is real here in any of these things, right? So, if this knowledge is there, then asata has a beginning and asata has an end, right? Then, another thing is, asata is perception. Sat is anubhavam. This is a big thing, much more important. Asata, what you are experiencing, what you call as experience, it's all perception only. Asata. Asata, you cannot have experience of asata. Only satta you can experience. For example, our existence, that is satta, is it not? That is why you are not able to take it away from you. No matter what happens in life, your existence, nobody can take it away from you. Nobody can take it away from you of your existence. I exist, that satta aspect, right? So satta is only possible. Satta is anubhavam. Anubhavam is only possible for satta. Everything else is pratiti. Shastra word is pratiti. Pratiti means perception, right? So this whole life is nothing but a flow of asatta. You are perceiving so many things, perception. So many things you are perceiving, you are thinking about it, worrying about it, and you are leaving it. So this to understand it's a bit difficult because we are trapped in this situation the way we are now. That's why this verse is a difficult verse to deeply analyze it. When you want to analyze this verse very deeply, to see the depth of that verse, all these examples, you have to analyze it to get a grip of that. To some extent, if you have deeply understood this verse, you got the Bhagavad Gita then. You can do like the way Krishna has played the world. How he played the world. In the same, you should be able to. That's why that principle. Na sado vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. You see, rishis speak with such a depth and at the same time, in a condensed form, in 2-3 words, such a deep philosophy they have managed to pack it in into that. Yeah. So the whole life is a flow of this asatta, right? Sometimes you get a lot of tension, stress from this asatta, right? At that time, you should have to think like this, that some time ago this tension didn't come. Now the tension has come, and after some time you will see the tension goes away, right? So none of the emotions, excitement or any emotions, will stay permanently. It will only stay there for a short period of time, and then it will go. Never in the history any emotion has stayed permanently. They all come and they will all go. So, therefore it is asatya. And tension is asatya. But if you have that, if you know this tension is asatya, means it is only a perception inside you. If you have that, then the power of that tension will reduce. It won't be so strong in us. When the Krishna is trying to teach us how to deal with duality, dvandvam, which he mentioned in the previous verse, is it not? He said, unless you take this seriously, what sort of spiritual life are you talking about? Spiritual life means able to come to grip with this, tolerate this happiness and distress, heat and cold. That is why it's such an important verse. Straight after opening Bhagavad Gita, he is saying this. Tidiksha, yeah. So tidiksha is this. How do you build a tidiksha inside? And he is trying to explain to us from intellectual level how to understand it properly. Yeah. So he is saying here that if you develop, realize in this way, tension and stress what you're feeling is all asatya. And if you, that perception if you have, then the power of that tension or stress will come down a lot. It won't be so powerful on you. Sometimes you lose all control because it overpowers you. Is it not? So certain things in life, it can overpower you and take complete control of you. And then you feel so depressed and so much suffering you go through and all that. But Krishna's point is that this clarity you must have of seeing things as sat and asatya. Without that, if you deal with the world, you will suffer. And he is speaking the truth. He is saying sat is consciousness. And that consciousness has transformed in all these different forms. And what is going on in the names and forms is all nothing but a drama. And if you don't deal with like a drama, you will have to suffer. That's the principle. Yeah. So, if you start thinking this is all real, what is happening, then you become fearful what's happening, right? One interesting story about that. A famous speaker was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Narasimham part, 7th canto, was being discussed. Lord Narasimha's appearance, right? It's very famous, isn't it? Narasimha's appearance in the Bhagavatam is very famous. Even the verses, when you read, you feel as though Narasimha is coming there. The verses are structured in that way, right? And there was a huge audience as well. So what they did, when the Narasimha Avataram was spoken, somebody, audience didn't know about this. Somebody dressed up like Narasimha and appeared in the screen, in the middle of the, while reading Narasimha Avataram. Somebody appeared in the middle who dressed up like Narasimha, came there. And everyone saw that actually Narasimha has come. They thought like that. And some of them cried. Some of them, out of devotion, they offered obeisances to this person who dressed up and came there, right? And because the impression was so strong in them when he appeared in the form of Narasimha like that here. And his son, this man who was dressed up like this, his son has seen his father dressing up all these things, Narasimha's form, right? And when he appeared on the screen, you know, that verses you read through, that you will find, forget the verses now, you'll there in the seventh canto, how he appeared, right? When he appeared on the screen, the son goes there and sits on his lap, because son saw him dressing up like Narasimha. He is his son, so it's only a dress he knows. So he came and sat inside, and when he sat there, how could he do that? Because he knows it is asat. It's all dressed up only. It's asat, right? So even though everybody else saw the fearful form of asat, the child didn't feel any problem. Child was able to go and sit in the lab because he knows it is asat, that form, what has appeared, right? So if you start thinking asat as a sat, then there is distress. If you start thinking asat, sat, distress, you have to know it is asat first. Krishna is saying that. All distress that comes, you know, when Krishna says to us, Ma Shucha, don't cry, he means it. You know, not that because he's not consoling us, not consoling us. He's saying you are suffering because of your ignorance. That is Krishna's point. He told that in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. He told at the end of Bhagavad Gita also. Don't cry, he's saying. He's not saying to us, oh, don't cry, everything will be okay, like we console each other. Not in that way. He's not consoling that way. He's saying to us that out of your ignorance you are crying, because you just don't know what the reality is, right? So, so asat, if you start thinking it is a sat, then there will be distress. So, first thing is, distress also is asat. We have to know that. Krishna saying, dukkham, distress is asat, right? Asat is all namarubam only, and name and form. What does creation means? Normally we have spoken about that sat, chitta, anandam, namam, rubam. That is creation. Or asti, bhadi, priyam, namam, rubam. These five things is creation. Asti, bhadi, priyam is the Brahma. Namarubam is the Maya. Brahma and Maya together. That is what this world is it not? So, these, based on this namarupam, that you are breaking up all the objects in this world. Is it not? Based on the namarupam, we are giving different names to different people, male, female, child, elderly person, grown up, young man, all these based on namarupam only, nothing else. Namarupam is the basis on which you are separating one to another, from one to another, right? And similarly, it is based on namarupam, you are saying this is good, this is bad, this I like, this I don't like. So everything is based on namarupam, right? So if you remove this namarupam, everything is same, one. If you remove the namarupam, pure consciousness. Another example, you went to the jewelry shop and the jeweler has given you various types of jewelry, all made of gold, but various types of jewelry. And when you are looking at it, you are looking at the design of different jewelry. All, because jewelers are also very smart in designing different types of jewelry, right? And you will go to one jewelry shop, and then you look at it, especially for the marriage when they shop. They will spend hours and days. They will fly to Bombay from here to look for all sorts of things people do to buy the jewelry, because it's so important for them, that jewelry. A lot of money also they spend on this jewelry, right? So when they go to the jewelry shops, big jewelry shops are there, and they know that you got money, and they want to sell the maximum. And the salesman also will take out different types of design, and you'll get confused which one to buy. So, and still, people who are buying it, they are very selective also. You may have noticed that. The girl will go with all her friends to make the selection of the jewelry, what they want. Yeah. And still, they may have some calculation in their mind, the type of jewelry they want. And if they have not got it, still she'll be looking for it elsewhere, right? And somehow or the other, shopping was done, and they got what they wanted, finally. Everything, you know, all kinds of jewelry they needed, isn't it? So they got all that. They came home. And they opened their, they got their safe cabinet and put it in inside the box, right? And separately she has organized everything in different boxes. The one for the head, the one for the neck, the one for the hands, one for the waist, and one for the feet, all together, right? She has organized everything, felt very peaceful, and went to sleep after that. In the night time, a thief came in, and he got inside. He knew that these people had gone and done shopping and brought the jewelry. There is something worthwhile raiding the house. So he gets in, right? And he opened the cabinet, and he's seeing all these different types. He's not bothered. Everything, whatever that is there, he's put it in the bag. Whatever he could get hold of, he put it in the bag, not thinking about the pattern or design or anything like that. Why? He didn't look at the Namarupam. The girl who went and did the shopping, she was only looking at the Namarupam. The thief, he was not at all looking at the Namarupam. For him, gold matters. For the girl who bought it, Namarupa matters. See the difference between the girl and the thief, right? So, so he only looked at that, the thief, and because for him, it doesn't matter. For him, gold that matters. Swapnam, right? That is why they will say in Shastram, Kanegaiva Mahabuddhi. Kanegaiva Mahabuddhi. That means his drishti, his vision is only on the gold. Only on the gold, right? Realized souls, their drishti is also like that. Only on the Atma. Not on the body. Not on Namarupam. Only on the Atma. Realized souls, jnanis, yogis, or great devotees also who are realized, their vision, when they see the world, their vision is only on the Atma inside, not on the Namarupam. Not on the Namarupam. They won't look at the Namarupam. Namarupam, if you start looking, you'll start thinking, this is man, this is woman, this is good person, that is bad person. All these things will not come up in their mind. Those thoughts will never come up in their mind. Yeah? And he is only looking at it, what is the vastu inside? That Atma inside, that's all what he will look at it, right? So, if you look at with an X-ray, what you will see is only the Atma inside, right? And that is Saddarshanam. You're seeing the Sat, right? So, body, you shouldn't look at it, right? That is Asaddarshanam. Only if you see the Atma or Antaryami inside, that is Saddarshanam. Because why you should not look at the body? It will keep changing. It will keep changing. And if you start looking at people only through the body, and if you start segregating them in that way, ragadvesham must come. Will be there. Ragadvesham will be there. If you start looking at the body and separate them, ragadvesham will be there. If you start looking at them through their mind, looking at their mind and separate them, you will have ragadvesham and you will have more suffering, more than the body. Mind is more troublesome that way. If you look at others' mind, what they said and what they thought and what they did and all these things, if you start analyzing, that means you are looking at their mind. And if you start looking people through the mind, more ragadvesham will come inside, right? If you look at purely as Atma in a person, you will never hate anyone. You will not get attached to anybody. That's a benefit. That's the benefit between Sat and Asat, right? Now, all this is based on Vedanta Shastra. What we have spoken till now is all based on the Vedanta Shastra. Now, let us come to ourselves individual, right? Look at ourselves, for example. Each one of us. What does asat and sat means? Something that is changing all the time is asat. And what is not changing at all in us is sat. Everything that is changing is asat. And what is not changing in us is sat. Right? We have got three body. You know that, don't you? You all know that. We have got three bodies. Sulam, Sushmam, Karanam. Three bodies, right? And gross body, easy to understand. Then we have the subtle body, which is dreaming, the dream state, right? And then there is a third state, Karanam, Karana Shariram. That is when you don't even dream at that time and you are sleeping, deep sleep. And at that time, what is actually happening? There is a covering there. You are experiencing the that happiness of the deep sleep, but you don't know where you are. Sushupti's beauty is that. You are experiencing the realized state, but you don't know where it came from. Why is it coming and going? Also, you don't know about that, right? So, when you are sleeping, even without any dream, you are feeling that there is something you don't know. Boredom is not there, but happiness is there, is it not? In the deep sleep, and that state is called Karana Shariram, right? In Karana Shariram, what does it mean? Karana Shariram means that you're not knowing what is happening. You don't know what is happening, but you are experiencing a state. Avastha, they call it, isn't it? Avastha-trayam it is. Avastha, an extremely blissful experience. No complaints about anything. Nobody disturbing you, but you are enjoying. You are enjoying, right? This Karana Shariram or causal body, that is where all secrets of life is in that. It is very important thing, this Karana Shariram. The secret of this whole life is in this Karana Shariram, right? Everything in the night, you go to bed, gross body lie down. After some time, you shut your eyes. For some time, you get some dreams. And finally, the mind also goes. When you are dreaming, it means the mind is active. Mind is bringing up. It is the mind you are experiencing everything, right? So everything goes and dissolves in the dream, deep sleep, in Sushupti, right? Say for example, in vacant state, you abused somebody. Just for example, you abused someone, right? It created an emotion inside you. You felt that I shouldn't have done that, but something happened. You got irritated and you said something to them, right? And due to that, what happened? A hate towards that person, and or what you call it as a kind of, or if you have liked somebody, praised him, that means some attachment happened inside. Either attachment or hate, depending on the feeling you had with that person. Suppose you have abused him, a hate developed. Suppose you have praised him, an attachment built up inside, right? And we may be thinking, how can you analyze all these things seriously, right? These are all coming, you are thinking that, oh, it has happened once, I have forgotten that. We will say to others, I have forgotten all that, I have shouted at him, but I have forgotten all that. Sometimes people do this. They will shout at you, and then after some time, they will act as though nothing has happened. They don't realize it, what has happened actually. What you have done to the other person, yeah? But the Shastram, how they analyze it, is like this, right? Everything what you have said or done, it will go directly into your Karana Shariram, to the causal body. Karana Shariram, it will go there, right? Yogis are giving an example for that. You know, yogis who are practicing Ashtanga Yoga, they are very much agreement with all these things. There is no difference. So what did they say is, you know, the shopkeepers in the olden days, nowadays there is no shops, it's all supermarkets, isn't it? In the olden days in the villages, you have small shops. And have you noticed how they, it's more or less the same everywhere. They'll have wooden planks, one next to each other. And together, joining all together, there'll be metallic rod. And they'll close it and they will lock it. Small, small shops selling groceries or vegetables and things like that, right? And there'll be many of them in the villages. You can choose whichever you want to go. No cards or anything. You pay cash, everybody will pay cash, and he will take the cash and he will pack it and give it to you on the spot in front of you. That was the system then, right? So what he does is, their system in them days was, after they have locked up the shop, the shopkeeper will go inside, he will sit inside, and all the cash what he got, he will separate them out. Because them days there was coins, 25p, 50p, 1 pound, and 10 pence, 20 pence, it will all be mixed up. So he will put them separately all, in different sections, right? And because he is preparing for the next day. When the customer comes, when he has to do the business again, he has to pick it up. On today, people will laugh at all these things. Because today's world is different, isn't it? We are in a very funny state now, where we are going through. But those days were simple. They were a very simple way of doing things, right? And similarly, in this example is for this purpose. How he organized everything? Similarly, everything we do every day and emotions that is created inside, one after the other, it will go and fall into that pot called Karana Shariram. Everything what you do every day will go into that Karana Shariram and it will fall inside. While sleeping at night, the Adhishtatra Devadas of all these, they will come, they will sort it out in the Karana Shariram. This is happening in our Karana Shariram. Who knows about it? Except Krishna, nobody knows. Krishna is saying to us, in the Karana Shariram, what Karana Shariram does is this. So much discussion about Karana Shariram in the Upanishad. For this reason only. Because everything what we have done during the day goes into Karana Shariram and gets piled up there. In the night, when you are in the Karana Shariram, it gets sorted at that time, right? And how do they sort it out? What has to be used in this life and what has to be used in the next life and that has to be used in the life after. Depending on the strength of the emotions and thoughts what you have created here, they have gone inside and registered there in the Karana Shariram, right? And it will come out in different birth, different bodies, at different times, whenever it is required. That is why it's called fruition. Fructified. It gets fructified or fruition happens and those devadas know what to do with that. We don't know about it. The devadas related to this Karana Shariram and to the emotions and all, they were very strictly, they will organize our Karana Shariram, and when we leave this body, it is arranged in such a way that this, after organizing everything in the Karana Shariram, it is handed over to the Sushma Shariram. So when you die, what happens? Karana Shariram dies, Stula Shariram dies, you go with the Sushma Shariram to the next body, which is set it up in a very organized way. Everything, set it up properly. All the vasanas, what you have created from your actions, speak, and thoughts and actions, everything, whatever you have created here, right? And they will come up in the Sushma Shariram at the next life, at the proper time when it is required, in the form of desires, it will come, right? And then it will be executed in the gross body, Stula Shariram, it will be executed. So, so, in the next life, what is required, when it is required, and which is the stronger ones, which requires to be destroyed first, they will come on the top of the box, called the Karana Shariram. In Karana Shariram, they will be arranged in a proper way, which should come first and which should come last. So they know that, what to do with that in the Karana Shariram. Because Adhishtatra Devadas are inside our body. You remember in the second canto of Bhagavatam, he says, Deva Uchu. They are all present in us. These are all subtle things and nobody understands these things. Rishis know this. Shukabrahmarshi said that, remember?
Yes.
In the second canto, remember? Yes. Shukabrahmarshi tells about the Devadas entering into the body, how they enter into us. We don't think, we think only this gross body, what we go to the hospital or doctors and what they see, tell us that this is it. We don't know anything, that avidya inside us, right? So, they are set it up in such a way, in the Karana Shariram, that when you go into the next body, already it is organized. Karana Shariram, it was set it up, because before you leave the body, it has to be sorted. And sorting is done in Karana Shariram, but transferred into Sushma Shariram. Sushma Shariram is a subtle body. You leave your Karana Shariram here, you leave your gross body here, but you go with the Sushma Shariram, subtle body in there, right? And it will be executed to the Sula Shariram, right? So, and then what will happen in the next life, in the next body, they will all start coming out from inside, one after the other, right? And these are all, but all the incidents were monitored and sorted out in the Karana Shariram. That is that Karana Shariram for. Karana Shariram is for that purpose. Karana Shariram, so what is there in the Karana Shariram is the one which comes into Sushma Shariram, and that is one, then it comes to Sula Shariram. When it comes to action, then gross body comes in. But before it comes to gross body, from Karana Shariram, it has to come to Sushma Shariram, the subtle body, right? So basically, Karana Shariram is a bag. It's a bag. Right? And this Sushupti is the time when that bag opens up, where it is all happening, right? So these three bodies, Stulam, Sushmam, Karanam, all these three, Krishna is saying here, is Asat. Krishna is trying to teach us what is Atma, consciousness is, right? So even these three things, Stula, Sushma, Karana, Shariram, is also Asat. Asat, right? Because why? All the three are changing. Again, the same principle. Because they are changing continuously, there's also Asat, Krishna is saying. So, you can see this. Gross body is concerned. Gross body is concerned, it takes birth. It starts growing. Then it's enjoying or changes happens to the body, right? Distress comes, diseases comes. And finally, it starts deteriorating, get old, and then it dies, right? So therefore, straight away you can say it is Asat. That's not difficult, is it not? Gross body is concerned, very easy to certify, it's Asat. It's born one time, kept changing, got diseases, got sick, and got deteriorated, and finally it changed its form all the way, and then finally it got sick, and then it died and gone. So it is Asat, clear, crystal clear, right? So therefore, I'm not that gross body. Then, I look at my subtle body, different emotions and thoughts are coming one after the other, right? Sometimes I'm getting angry, sometimes I'm getting greedy, sometimes I'm getting lusty, sometimes I'm getting envy, sometimes I'm getting proud. Different emotions are coming, thoughts and emotions are coming. And I am seeing that at some moment, I'm noticing that it has come and gone. And I identified with that. That's why I started acting on that basis. I got angry and I did something, right? So, so because of identification, I got affected by that, every emotions, and therefore I can see that those emotions, what was happening in the subtle body is different than real me, because I was experiencing that. So I'm different from that subtle body and the emotions. So all the changes, what is happening in that subtle body, because it's changing, because it's coming and going, subtle body is also Asat. Subtle body is also Asat. Krishna is establishing why all the three states are also, three bodies are also Asat. Right? And then, therefore, the subtle body is also not me. right? And causal body or karana shariram, that is also changing. That's also changing. Why is changing? Because it's not there with me all the time. It comes to me at night at some point in time, and at some point in time it leaves me and goes. That means it's coming and going. Krishna is saying anything that's coming and going is asat. So karana shariram is also asat. Is also asat. So this karana shariram is also not me. When you are a small child, you won't know this. You won't know this, right? Because at that time, karana shariram is not so strong. In the sense that you won't be able to notice it. Why is it like that, right? Old age, when it comes, have you noticed the change in yourself? If you observe, you will see the differences. You slept 12, 14 hours very happily as a child, right? And you had no complaints about it. Now, when it finished 65, 70, 80 and all that, what happens is that you don't get to sleep really. You're always either in the gross body or in the subtle body. Even when you are sleeping, a lot of things are coming inside. That means you are actually in the dream state. You are not in the deep sleep. Deep sleep, old people never get it. Old people never get deep sleep. You can see, ask anyone. When you get up and then you look at the world, you think about, most of the time, the Sushma Shariram, the subtle body has changes, right? You can see that the old age, because the Karana Shariram is dead. Karana Shariram is dead. That is why you are dreaming at night. So much dreaming at the old age. Only when you get there you will know it. If I say this to you now, you won't get it. You get older and older, you will start realizing it. It depends on different people. But by and large, as you get about 75, 80 and all that, it's all dream only. All night. You're not actually sleeping. Old people will know if anybody comes and knocks the door. Other people will sleep. So there's, as long as old people are at home, home is safe. Because they are not sleeping anyway at night. So, so they are in the platform of the mind. Platform of the mind, right? Subtle body you have seen, it is changing, isn't it? Sometimes you are very enthusiastic and sometimes then gradually it starts weakening. By 40, 45, you start feeling that had enough of it. That thought comes in. 25, 30, full steam, full enthusiastically doing everything and feeling whole responsibility on the shoulders of the world and you're acting like that, right? So you understood that Sushma Shariram is also changing. I am not that. That's also Asat. Stula Shariram is also, gross body is also Asat. And Sushma Shariram, because it is, changes are not happening in the Sushma Shariram. Problem with Sushma Shariram is coming and going. Because it's coming and going, Krishna is saying, that's also Asat. That's also Asat. So, if you are able to study these three states very well and absorb in it deeply, he says that is Vedantam, Vedanta Vicharam or Bhakti, in other words, right? So, whether you are following the path of Bhakti, whether you are following the path of Jnana Margam, you cannot ignore any of these things. These are all integral part of the Tattvam, integral part of the Tattvam, right? If you don't understand all these things and you are not willing to accept any of these things, one day Krishna will force you to accept it. Without accepting all these things, it won't go inside properly, right? So, whether you are following the process of bhakti, following the process of jnanam, no matter what it is, one day or the other, you will have to understand that this is how the system works, right? And sthula shariram, or the gross body, is only me, only in the vacant state. Is it not? Only in the vacant state I am identifying with this gross body. Similarly, only in the dream state I am identifying with the subtle body, sushma shariram. I am neither of that. And in the sushupti, that gross body and the subtle body also disappears, right? So, sushupti, also there is changes happening there, but not noticeable for us. Chances are there. How do you know that? For example, smaller children, they sleep 20 hours, don't they? When they are born, first year or so, they'll sleep a lot. First year, second year and all. And you start feeling envy of them, old man, thinking at them, how do they get such a good sleep? Here you can't even get 1 hour sleep properly. Even that is with the dream. And they have got 15, 20 hours very good sleep, right? Science will tell you that is for their body to grow. That's their explanation for that. Who? Science, modern science. Their explanation is that they have to sleep so much because their body has to grow. And that is their position, on that. Vedantam says different. You see the difference between science and Vedantam. Vedantam is saying to us, it is the time when the vasanas are all getting shifted. That means the vasanas sit in the subtle body, they take time to come into the gross body, right? And that is what is called growth from the Vedantam position. From Vedantam position, growth of the person means shifting of the vasanas from the subtle body. Shifting the vasanas. That means the vasanas have come from the karana shariram into the sushma shariram. But sushma shariram, it is stacked up in a particular way. And what has to be used in this life, it has to be transferred into the body, gross body, and that transfer is taking place in several hours of sleeping. That's what is happening, right? So, because you come with the bag full of that, right? The last life, all your karana shariram has come as sushma shariram now. The karana shariram, what was in the last life, has come now as your sushma shariram, is it not? And the bag is full, and gradually it has to start shrinking, the sushma shariram, right? And as you keep growing, the sushma shariram starts shrinking, right? Whether you explain it in a biological way, like the science does, or if you explain it through the tattvam of the Vedantam, either way, more or less it's the same thing. But science will say it in one way, Vedantam will say in a different way. Vedantam will speak from a more subtle level. Vedantam has not given much importance to the external thing, to the growth of the body. Body is changing because of this, what you have brought with you. That is causing the change in the body. Right? So, so, whichever way you explain it, it's the same thing. So, if you think about it, you can see the difference, distance between matter and spirit is not much. It's not much, right? As you get older, your sleep will reduce, right? And in the middle of your life, say 30, 40 and all that, you will probably get about 6-7 hours sleep. 6 to 7, 8 hours sometimes people get that sleep, right? At that time, the karana shariram, the causal body, its strength comes down. And in the old age, no sleep at all, right? And people worry about it, right? And what you have to realize that, you feel tired about that at the old age, you start thinking, oh, I didn't sleep very well last night. That's why I'm feeling tired, right? And that's because of the tension you have, that I didn't sleep well. And that developed a tension inside. You're still expecting that baby's 10, 12 hours sleep, and you're not getting it. What to talk about 10, 12, even 6 to 7, you're not getting it. And that build up as a tension inside, and then you worry about it. The fact is, old age, you don't need sleep. You don't need sleep at all, right? Prakriti has created us like that. Because why you don't need sleep? Because your karana shariram, causal body, is practically empty. It's practically empty. So that's why you don't need sleep in the old age. Karana shariram has become empty. So that is the reason why you're not getting sleep. I told you before, in karana shariram, why you get sleep is to sort out the files there. All the vasanas what you have created. But the old age, when it comes, karana shariram becomes emptied. It has gone to... Sushma shariram, subtle body, is for taking everything that you are getting in this life. What you get in this life. All the interactions, all the dealings, what you have done here, and its impact on you in vasanas form, that's all being carried by the Sushma shariram. And that is the reason in that Bhajagovindam prayer say, Vruddha Saval Chinda Sakta. Do you remember? Yeah. Balasaval Kreda Sakta. Clear. Tarunasaval Taruni Sakta. Vruddha Saval Chinda Sakta. Vruddha Saval Chinda Sakta. Only Vruddha does is Chinda. 24 hours Chinda. Continuously. What else do they do? Nothing else to do. Because Karana Shariram is not operating. So that's the reason, right? And the subtle body of this life is Karana Shariram for the next life. And in the next life, it will come in the form of sleep and will be converted. Leave it at that moment. Let's explain this. Karana Shariram or the causal body, at the old age, because it has become practically empty, you won't get any sleep. What happens in Karana Shariram is that because this process is going on, leaving the body and everything, the Atma inside is not disturbed by anyone, either by the senses, nor by the gross body, nor by the Ahankaram, none of that. And the process is going on there. That is what that deep sleep is about. That our files are getting sorted there. Files are getting sorted, right? So there will be very little sleep at the old age. And if you don't get sleep, you don't feel disturbed about it. You don't have to get disturbed about that. You should realize that it is a natural thing at the old age not to get deep sleep. Why Karana Shariram is not operating at that time. And ideal thing, the people who are intelligent, in the sense that spiritually very strong, what they will do is they will wake up and use that time for chanting, japam, dhyanam, and things like that. Or simply sitting there idly without getting affected by that, anything, right? And you won't feel any tired because of that. Thinking that, oh, I didn't get enough sleep and therefore I'm suffering, that's wrong. That's not right. You will still feel the energy to do things, right? So, if you start worrying about it, then you will feel tired, right? So, it is due to this conflict inside that you feel tired, right? Not because that you didn't get sleep. That's not the reason. Right? If you didn't get sleep, don't worry about it. And that is because of the Karana Shariram not operating, right? So these three bodies, Krishna is saying, gross body, subtle body, and the causal body, Karana Shariram, all three of them have growth and death also. Gross body, easy to understand. Subtle body also, you can see emotions, thoughts comes and finally it gets exhausted and death happens. Karana Shariram also, all the things comes, and then they get transferred to Sushma Shariram, Karana Shariram also die. So observing these three bodies, Thulam, Sushmam, Karanam, all the three bodies, and noticing their growth and death, Krishna is saying to us, all three are Asat. All three are Asat. So Karana Shariram dies when it has served its purpose. Thula Shariram also in the same way, it dies when it has served its purpose, which you know that. Sthula Shariram, the gross body, if the prarabdham is finished, its purpose is served and then it dies. Similarly, Karana Shariram also, after it has collected and sorted all the vasanas, its purpose is finished, it dies. But Sushma Shariram doesn't die. We have to understand these three bodies very well, because it helps a lot to see the thing, how it happens, right? The Sushma Shariram, we have built it up through our avidya, ignorance, ajnanam, avidya. That is the food or the menu or whatever you call it for the Sushma Shariram. Sushma Shariram got stronger and stronger because of the vasanas we have filled in the Sushma Shariram, right? Due to avidya. And avidya or ajnanam, whatever you say, Sushma Shariram, right? And that is the reason this swapnam or the dream has come from avidya basically. It is a product of avidya, right? Otherwise, swapnam won't be there. Swapnam won't be there. And avidya, avidya goes away, knowledge comes in. When the avidya goes away, right? For example, animals don't have swapnam. Animals don't have swapnam, right? Also, you know, these scientists, they want to do research on everybody, isn't it? We are the so-called most modern, developed, intelligent entities. And then they go to all these tribal people, you know, in the forest. And when they go there, they notice that these tribal people are more happy than us, living in the city, in all the palaces and all the driving posh cars and wearing suit and all that. He doesn't get sleep. These tribal people, they are getting good sleep. There is no disturbances at all, and they don't have dream either. They've done all this research on them. You know, Adivasis, they call it, isn't it? They did research on that, right? So, so they are saying they don't get much dream at all. Who? These tribals. They don't get a dream at all, right? We, what we have done, we have in the name of entertainment, cinema, television, media, education, all our education, and all our power of imagination, we went and invested everything in all these things, and we created a big dream world inside us. And that is the reason why we get so much dreams. I know whether you will understand what I'm saying. You see, the way we live in this world has an impact on us so strongly that it will catch us when we are dreaming. So all these things like entertainment and all kinds of development, not living a natural life, artificially creating all kinds of lifestyle, all this has gone inside our world of imagination, and we have developed it as an art, and that has become a dream within us. That's why we dream too much, more than others. Tribal people don't dream. They live so simple and they get good sleep at night. When you say they are, when they wake up in the morning, they are fresh. We are not feeling that, right? So what we have done ourselves is, by our lifestyle in this world, we have made our Sushma Shariram very, very, very big. It has impacted on us. Sushma Shariram, our subtle body, got impacted by our lifestyle so much that because of that, Sushma Shariram is mainly responsible for all distress that you experience in this life. Distress is coming because of Sushma Shariram, that subtle body, right? Nobody cry because of good sleep. Karana Shariram, nobody cries because of that, right? And similarly, with the gross body also, unless it gives some pain or something, you don't feel bad about the gross body. But all the suffering in your life is coming from Sushma Shariram, from the subtle body, right? So, and subtle body means mind. Basically, it is mind. It is the cause of all the distress. And this mind is called a subtle body, basically. Mind is a subtle body. So, this is from the Vedanta, from the coming into our personal, individual life, right? So we have seen this verse, Satya and Asatya, in the beginning, from the Vedantam position, what it is, and then when you come into your body, how it has its effect on us. So the two sides, right? So, therefore, I'll tell you what it is. It is important. When you go to very realized personalities, yeah, they won't discuss with you anything related to your problems. The reason for that is they know what you have done yourself, damage you have done to yourself, right? Many people, they will ask you, how is your health? You have gone to see a spiritual personality and he is asking you how your health is, body health is. That's what they will ask you. Are you physically okay? Or they will ask you that if you are feeling any pain in the body, they will take notice of that. Or they will ask you, are you hungry? Have you had something to eat? This is the question they are firing at you. You are expecting that you want to go there to discuss about your problems, right? But they will not discuss with you anything related to your problems. Because problems are all coming from subtle body. And subtle body is what you have made it grow on your own, created due to your lifestyle, whatever it is. And therefore, they are saying that it's your own creation, you have to get rid of that. That you have to change your lifestyle, there is no alternative to that, right? So, sometimes one person came to Ramana Maharshi the same way and told him about his problems. He said that his answer was, there is a demon inside you. And the demon is taking up different dresses sometimes and comes in front of. And you start acting accordingly. Then what can be done, he said. So he never accepted the mind. He won't accept the mind, right? Mind is nothing but coming out of our ignorance. It's not a real thing, this thing called mind. It is bhavana, and this has grown only due to our imagination, right? Bodily pain, it is factual, right? Similarly, the sleep of the karana shariram, causal body, is also factual, right? Because both of them we have brought with us when we have come to this world. We brought the gross body and we have brought the causal body as well, right? But this thing called mind, which is the subtle body, is the one which we are creating, in cultivating it, and created it in this lifetime, and that is what is the subtle body. See the differences between the three bodies, yeah? Gross body, it is easy to understand. If you explain it properly, you can agree with that without any difficulty. But the other two is the subtle things they are, Sushma Shariram and Karana Shariram. And modern science has no interest in these two things, Sushma Shariram and Karana Shariram. How they work and what effect it has got on us, they are not taking into account. And that is why we can't accept science, because of this reason. Life means these three states, Stula, Sushma, Karanam. And if you are only discussing Stulam, then what's the point? And this is the reason they're saying here that the Sushma Shariram, Stula Shariram is factual, it will die and go. Karana Shariram also will die and go. We can see already the death has started inside. Older people will recognize that. You are Karana Shariram, therefore you are not sleeping, right? Old age. Then you are coming, what happens then? You come to Sushma Shariram then. And Sushma Shariram is this mind. And this mind means nothing but thoughts, one after the other. Vruddhasthaval, Chindasatta. Right. So, Sushma Shariram. So, these three things, Sulam, Sushmam, Karanam, all of them are Asatya. All of them are Asatya. They are not permanent. Sulam comes and goes. Karanam also comes and goes. Sushmam goes when you get liberated. When Sushmam dies, you are liberated. When Sushma Shariram dies, you are released. No more body after that. Karana Shariram dies on its own way. Stula Shariram also dies. But Sushma Shariram will go with you, birth after birth, body after body after body. And when finally when the Sushma Shariram gets destroyed, you are liberated. Yeah. And so, and Krishna's point is, right, all three are Asatya and none of them is Satya, which I am. Atma. Atma is the Satya and none of them are me, right? Because none of them has an existence of its own. They are all there because I am there. Atma is there, right? only if I am there who is seeing all these three states, then they exist, right? Out of that, only I am the Sat, Atma is the Sat, Bodham, consciousness. Just like if you have one lamp, then to see the lamp, you don't need another lamp. When the lamp is burning there, to know that, you don't need a torch to know it. Similarly, to know that I exist, Atma exists, I don't need anybody to tell me about it. I don't need any information from anyone, because I know I exist all the time. And that is why it's called a Swayam Pragasham. On its own, it can make you conscious of that. And and anything what I don't experience in the same way as I experience now my existence, anything that I don't experience in the same way is all asatta. Do you understand that? Satta means anything without anyone's help. I know my existence, every one of us, isn't it? We all know our existence without anyone's help. And you cannot take it away from me, because that's me. That's me, consciousness. So, but body, mind, senses, world, everything else, I require that help of that bodham, consciousness. So therefore, they are all asatta. My existence is satta. I am satta, right? So, I'll stop there for a break and we'll see after that. Chedo darpanam arjanam vaumaha gavagni nirvapanam shreyakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jeevanam anandam budivardhanam pradipada purnamridaswadhanam sarvatma supanam varam vijayade shri krishna sangirtanam nam namakari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida nimida smaranena kalam Edadrishi tavakrpa bhagavan mamapi durdaivami drishamiha janinanuragaha tranarabi shunichenam tarorabi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari nathanam najanam nasundarim kavidamva jagadisha kamai mama janmani janmani ishwari bhavadal bhaktirahai togitvai Ay nandat nuja kingaram padidamam shami bhavam bodo kribaya tava pada panga jastida doli sadrisham vijindaya nayanam garada shudharaya vadanam gaddadarudhaya gira pulagayar nijidam kadavabo tava namagrahane bhavishyadi yuga idam nimeshena chakshusha pravisha idam shunya idam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name Ashlishya vapadaradam pinishtumam adarshanam marmahadam karotuva yathatadava vidadadulambado alpranathastuna evanapara sarvatra govinda nama sangirtanam govinda govinda. So, yad vishaya buddhi na vyabhicharadi tat sat, yad vishaya buddhi vyabhicharadi tad asat, idi sadasat vibhage buddhi tandre stite. Saying in the Acharya Swami's Bhashyam here. So, we are saying that sat doesn't require, this is, understand sat properly, sat doesn't require something else to know the existence of the Satya. If it is Satya, means you already have it. Nobody need to tell you about it. Which is our existence, isn't it? Bodham, consciousness. Nobody need to teach me that I've got consciousness. You got consciousness. You got Bodham. No. I'm already conscious of it. That means in my anubhavam, experience, Sat is always in experience. Asat is always in perception. Everything you perceive through senses is sense perception. And that is all asatya. Everything you experience within yourself without the help of senses, but fully experiencing inside, that is sat, consciousness, bodham. Right. So, just like this body, for example, say my hand got amputated or leg got amputated, and I went to sleep, and say some accident happened, and I got the hand got broken, right? Went to the hospital, and the hospital people said, we can put it back together, join it, stitch it together, put it back, right? But we can't guarantee you that it will work in the same way like before. They'll tell you that. They can do the stitching it up, and outward things will grow, the skin will grow, everything. But the hand loses its power. Like the way it performed before, hand is not able to do the function in the same way, right? So, so what it means is that hands and legs and all these things, on its own, it doesn't have any astitvam, existence, right? When you sleep, suppose your hands are amputated and you went to sleep, right? Suppose you have no pain after that. It is all, you know, cured and you have no pain. Quite often, when you wake up, not knowing that the hand was taken out, you'll start want to use the hand, but it is already gone from you. It's taken out, right? So, it's just like, suppose in the deep sleep, the telephone rang, and one of your legs has been taken out already due to some accident or whatever it is. But if the telephone rings, you will forget it, that you don't have that leg, and you will start running towards the telephone, not knowing that one leg has gone. Just to show to us that hand, legs and all does not exist in our consciousness. Body does not exist in our consciousness. Yeah. So only when you start using them, you start realizing that it exists. All these parts, right? Because on its own, hand or a leg, any of them does not have any identity of its own. Like we have our identity as we are existing, that identification, right? So what it does is, this consciousness that is present inside us, in everyone, it stays inside and gives existence to other things as well. They give the feeling that they also exist. That's what it does. Consciousness exists in everyone, and it gives the feeling to the person that all other things are also existing, hands, legs, everything. And we are not able to segregate them. We are thinking whole thing is together. Whole thing is not together. Consciousness is separate. Sat, that's what I'm saying. Sat, how it gives the power to the asat. This is how sat gives power to the asat. Asat is dead matter. And asat feels some experience of existence due to the presence of sat inside. Because sat is inside, that is why even the asat is feeling its existence. Asat gets that power from the sat, presence of the sat inside. So, so I am sat, but all the other things I've got is asat. I use them. I use the body, mind, senses, everything. And that is why Krishna is saying, drik is always sat, drishyam is always asat. Drik drishya vivekam. It's a famous book, Drik Drishya Vivekam. Drik is always sat, because I am the one, the drik, and all other things are drishyam, including the body, mind, senses, everything, and that's all asat. Drishyam is asat. One who is seeing everything, he is sat, and everything what is seen is asat. So, asat, even though it is temporary there, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, take it that they don't exist, even though they are temporarily. That's how to deal with asat. Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, the asat is temporarily there, he accepting that, but you have to take it that they don't exist really. Yeah. So, similarly, you may be thinking that you got your body which exists, and you are thinking that others' body is also existing. It's all dream. this verse, you can see the problem, how much difficult it is to digest that verse. Yeah, Nasato Vidyadev, how deep that the analysis of this verse is, right? Only difference is, Krishna says, this body is a long dream. It lasts for a long time. That's all it is, right? And if you take the concept of time, right? If you bring time into it, time actually has no meaning. What meaning has time got? It's not. Time is all creation of the mind only, past, present, future. Who says all these things? Mind says to you. Mind tells you. Mind creates that, and we fall by that. So, if you take the concept of time, this long dream, like this body also, only lasts for some time, 50 years, 70 years, whatever it may be, finished. So, see how amazing that is, because people who are very attached to you in life, you spend 50, 60, 70 years with them, and then suddenly one day they died and then gone, right? Disappeared. They disappeared. One day they disappeared. And then you think about them. It's only a question of few days or few weeks, months. They have become a memory. Think about your own parents who are lost parents, you know very well. How long will they be in your awareness, bodham? No, gone. It becomes a memory. And after, say, 50, 60 years and all, you can't even remember everything about them. Very, very little what you, even if something memory stays inside, right? So that thoughts about them has gone completely, right? And naturally we accept it straight away. Why is it like that? Because that bhavam has gone in them, right? It will not stay permanently. It will come, it will go, right? It will stay, it will go. Therefore Krishna is saying, na sado vidyade bhavam. Asat has no bhavam. Bhavam means if it stays inside. It's not staying inside. So therefore, asata has no bhavam. So, this thing, principle what Krishna has spoken, is not for knowing about others. It's one has to know within oneself. This is what is required from our side. What Krishna wants us to do is to get this awareness inside us all the time, this bodham, right? Then the distress will leave you. That does not mean that suppose one of your close relatives died, that you shouldn't cry because of that. That's not what it is saying. You have to cry at least for others' sake to show that you're... Even if you have the realization, people who are realized, they won't cry. But sometimes people will say, oh, this person is like a stone. He doesn't feel any sadness, right? But if you know that your body, mind, intelligence, everything is asata, if you know that, then your asakti, attachment to these things will come down. That's a benefit from that. That is the reason why Krishna is saying this. Remember what Krishna said. You see, because of asakti only, this sukham dukkham comes. Now you see the problem. So Krishna knows the reason for sukham dukkham is asakti. And asakti is mostly in the body, mind, senses, everywhere. Now, if you know that they are also asata, then the intensity of that asakti will come down. That's a benefit by knowing this. It makes sense, isn't it? The attachment in us is all because of, we know that all these people who are with you in the family life, they are not going to be there permanently. But because of the asakti, attachment, strong attachment, whether it's wife, husband, children, grandchildren, or whatever it may be, asakti is though strong there, therefore you can't even see that it is a temporary thing. You're not able to accept that. Yeah, it comes strongly inside, asakti. And due to that is asakti. That's what asakti means. Yeah. And asakti, Krishna has spoken very strongly in the Bhagavatam, in the Ekadasham, if you see, he has spoken pretty very heavy language, he has used there. So what he's saying is that this asakti will end up in sukham dukkham, which means ragadvesham will come. So they're all connected to each other. Ragadvesham is connected to sukham dukkham is connected to asakti. So this asakti is due to this problem, not able to separate sat and asat. So Krishna is saying, if you know how to break up sat and asat properly, and if you have taken it, accepted it fully, properly, then your asakti for asat will come down. That's the benefit. You won't get too much affected by the things what's happening to the asat. As far as a man is concerned, wife, children, grandchildren, grandparents, parents, they are all asat for him. From the spiritual point of view, they are all asat. But the asakti is there, then asat becomes very important for them. Asakti will cause problems. Therefore, all sufferings will come from every one of them. You will get suffering from everybody. So, so in principle, Krishna is trying to separate this sat and asat and make us aware that the asakti has to go. By knowing that it is asat, you should deal with it. He's not saying that you should ignore them and throw them out. Not that way. He's saying, know very well inside that that's all asat. They are not going to be there permanently with you. They are coming and going, and therefore it's asat. Just, you have nothing to do with that, right? So, you know, this asat does not have a permanent bhava. Na bhava vidyade sada. Is it not? Those two lines. Na sada vidyade bhava, na bhava vidyade sada. Right. Nisargadatta Maharaj, who was in Maharashtra, in Mumbai, right? And one person, after his realization, this is the beauty of self-realization, yeah? He realized it himself, Nisargadatta Maharaj, and he did what he had to do. He was making BD. You know how they were used to make BDs before? I don't think it is still there, I think. People are smoking cigarettes now. More advanced. In the olden days, there was BD. Cigarettes were not there. Cigarette was considered to be only for the rich people. Average person will smoke BDs, right? So BD was a big market. And these people, everything was done manually. He will sit at home and on his lap, there will be a table-like thing. Yeah. And in that, all that raw material will be there, and with the hands he'll be doing this and he'll be tying with the rope like that. Give it up. And then it is packed and then sold it. Cheaper it was. Same tobacco, which is in the thing here. So he, this Nisargadatta Maharaj, after self-realization, he was doing this. And at that time, a person comes to him and he asked him that, what form should I meditate upon? One person who wanted to know about meditation, right? He told him that you meditate on your form before, 10 months before you were born. Says to you. He says to him, you meditate on your form, which is 10 months before you were born, he said. So he says, I wasn't there at that time. So he says to him, then imagine that you didn't exist at that time. But he said, I cannot imagine that I didn't exist. How can I imagine that? That's not possible. Because this existence is so deep inside. That's what we are, isn't it? Existence is our identity. So that is something we cannot do it, right? So our non-existence is difficult to imagine, even with the mind, right? All other things you can imagine, but that I do not exist, that I can't even imagine, right? And that is that Shunyavastha, right? Shunyavastha means that I don't exist. In order to imagine something, I am required, my presence is required. In other words, existence cannot become non-existence. Existence cannot become non-existence. I am the existence, And that is why they will say, Ahamasmi, Yohamasmi, Ahameva Ahamasmi. The Akhamarshana Mandram is there. That is how it is chanted. Ahamasmi, Yohamasmi, Ahameva Ahamasmi. While bathing, they have Brahmanas chant this mantram for this. Right? So, nobody can say that they don't exist. Right? Therefore, Sata has only one bhavam, that I exist. That is what is called Sata means, that existence. Right? What is not existing is this body, the mind, the intelligence and things like that. And similarly, all the Namarupam, names and forms, they are all continuously changing. So instead of putting all your attention on the things what are changing, Krishna is saying, instead of putting all your attention on things what are changing, if you are able to put your attention on the things what doesn't change, right? And if you deal with the changing things in that way, then you won't feel distress. If all your attention is on the non-changing thing, which is the existence, awareness, bodham, consciousness, if all your attention is on that, and then you handle all the changing ones with that understanding, handle it in that way, then you will not feel distress from this world. Right? This world, we are seeing it as Namarupam, and that's completely Asata. And Namarupam, it has come in the form of Namarupam and standing in front of us as individuals, personalities and all that, right? They will say he has dressed up in the name of female, male forms and comes in front of that. So rishis are saying to us, in the Upanishad, this is from the Upanishad, he's saying there that to consciousness, Andaryami, Brahman, they are addressing him and telling him that you have come in front of Tvam Kumara, Tvam Kumari, Tvam Purusha, Tvam Stri, Tvam Vriddha. In this way, everything, all these forms are only in front of me, but actually it's all you. Whether it's an old person, young man or woman, or boy or a girl, whatever it may be, this whole creation itself is you, right? It's your sarupam. How did they get to that stage, that awareness? They are also seeing the world like we are seeing here, but they realize that there is a vastu inside, within all the namarupam, which does not change. That means they saw the vastu inside. Vastu means that Chaitanyam inside, which doesn't change. They found it. When they found the Chaitanyam, they realized that all other things are changing. Chaitanyam doesn't change. As soon as when they saw that, they are saying to us that this difference they noticed between Satta and Asatta. Asatta, they saw that and Asatta, they completely gave it up. They abandoned the Asatta, right? Just like the thief has given up the form of the jewelry and took only the gold. In the same way, jnanis also, even though they see the form, they won't give importance to the form or the name. Form or the name. They see the Satta inside, Sat inside, or the Atma inside. That is what is called Tattva Darshana, Tattva Darshi. Right? So, thing is that because it is like that, they won't, jnanis, we are talking about realized souls, you can say, they won't get affected by any namarupam. Namarupam won't affect them, right? Whatever happens, sleep, their mind won't get any impact due to that, right? So, Prahlada saw Narasimham. Right? He didn't get scared. Why? We may say, oh, he's a devotee and all that. What is that? This realization inside. This is only a form outside. Right? He didn't see the form. He saw the vastu inside. Prahlada's benefit was that due to self-realization in the womb itself, Sri Narada Maharshi has delivered him from the womb, delivered him from the ignorance. So even though he is Asura, Bala, boy, Asuric boy, still because he received that knowledge within the womb of the mother, when he came out, he could not see the things like the way we are seeing. We are seeing in our ignorance now, is it not? With all the avidya inside, we are seeing Namarupam and we are having affected by that. That's our state. When Prahlada came out, he didn't see them as Namarupam. He only see them as Krishna's Andaryami inside, Chaitanyam, pure consciousness in that way. And that is the reason when he saw Andaryami in everyone, therefore the fear did not affect him. Fear did not affect him. Once you recognize Dvaitam, right, you will have this problem. Ragam, Dvesham, Bhayam, everything. Fear, everything, right? If you don't recognize Dvaitam, if you don't accept Dvaitam, Ragam, Dvesham, Bhayam will not be there. Nothing is to be rejected, but the understanding that the if you recognize the oneness of the Chaitanyam, then Dvaitam won't be there. Then any amount of Namarupam comes, you won't be affected by that. Yeah. Examples are there. I mentioned this also before. There was one realized person, but he was a bit, he will act in a very crazy way, you know. For us, he is crazy. For him, we are crazy. That's all the difference. Yeah, so Sheshadri Swamiji, yeah. He used to wander around like a mad person. And everybody knew that he has a deep realization, yeah. But he will walk around everywhere in the town. So one person comes up to him and he tells him, give me Brahmavadesham. Like Parikshit asked Shubramarshi. He was asking Sheshadri Swamiji to give me Brahmavadesham, right? So, he told him, you go home and there is one fruit which is a little smaller one, I don't know the English name. You eat that, he said, and everything will be alright, he said. And you eat that and then come back some other time and I'll give you Brahmavadesham, he said. What he meant was that you go home and look at yourself, all your problems inside. Or the mind, right? So in order to destroy that, he said, you eat that fruit. He was saying it in a language so that he could understand it, make him understand, right? So he went by saying this, he said, first you get rid of all that ignorance inside and then you come, then I will give you the Upadesham. You will see this coming in the next few verses. Different people in this world, when they reach that state of self-realization, how they conducted their life in this world. For example, Janaka, Ambarish, Shukabrahmarshi, Vedavyas, onwards loads of other people, if you look at it, you will see Nisargadatta Maharaj, Ramana Maharshi, Shankaracharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of them, all these great, great personalities, they all acted differently. But their realization inside is the same as Krishna's realization. What is that? They are satta. They are not asatta. They all activities are based on the asatta and the identification. So that is why every one of them acted in this world differently. Mahaprabhu acted differently. Acharya Swamiji acted differently. Then, Ambarish Maharaj acted differently. Ambarish, extremely rich. He acted in one way. Sudama, extremely poor. He acted in a different way. But on realization, both Ambarish and Sudama are in the same state. Do you understand? Think about it. You have to see that the differences, difference is in the upadhi only, not in the realized state. They know who they are, that they have nothing to do with asat. Asat is all this body, mind, senses, everything. So Sudama's prarabdham and Sudama's life is one way. Poverty, suffering, everything. But not he is suffering, not suffering. He is dealing with his upadhi in one way. Ambarish Maharaj is dealing with upadhis in another way. King Janaka is dealing with his upadhis in another way. Ashtavakra Maharshi is doing his upadhis in another way. So upadhis are concerned, they all deal with them according to Kabir, for example. Kabir, after self-realization, was doing the weaving. He continued doing the weaving the cloth. And a lot of people asked him, why are you doing this? You have got everything. And a lot of rich people came up to him and told him, he says, I am not doing it, the body is doing it. It is a part of the bodily, the duties of the body, he did that, right? So the point is this, that one day, Seshadri was, Swamiji was standing there on the road, a buffalo came that way, right? So another person came and wanted, he's observing Seshadri Swamiji, what he's doing with the buffalo. So Seshadri Swamiji looked at him and he asked him, what's this? He said. So he said, it's just a buffalo, he said. And so it has no value, you know, he said like that, right? Again he asked, what is it? He says, it's a buffalo. Three times he asked. All the three times he said, it's a buffalo. Seshadri says to him, it is not buffalo, it's Brahman. He says, it's Brahman. Because inside you there is buffalo, you are seeing this as buffalo, he said. You are the buffalo, he said to him, to this man who said this, right? Because this buffalo doesn't know that it is buffalo. We are calling it by, as a name. We gave the name to it, buffalo. And we are calling it as buffalo. But if you ask the buffalo, who are you? He won't say, I am buffalo. He won't say that, would he? All buffalo knows its existence only. So, Namarupam is all our creation. Krishna is trying to make it very clear to us. Sat and Asat. All Namarupam in this world, suppose you are seeing a boy or a girl or a man or a woman or white man, black man, and all these things, is all Namarupam only. That's all we have created. What actually exists is the Sat. And Sat is concerned, it's the same everywhere, right? So, we get cheated by this. All this fighting going on, for what? I'm Russian, I'm Ukrainian. Why are they fighting? Because the Namarupam is giving them the trouble. Is it not? Sat is concerned, Russian is the Sat, Ukrainian is also Sat, Palestinian is also Sat, Israeli is also Sat. But because this knowledge is not there, and therefore, in the name of Asat, you are fighting. Asat is the cause of this fighting. So Krishna's point is, till you get out of this satta-satta business and come to realize who sat is and what asat is, you will have problems. You will have to accept all the miseries of this world, right? So, so every time this happens, we impose names and names and forms on everything, and then we fight on each other on this basis, right? If you see the Brahman in the buffalo, you won't see the buffalo. But you have seen, you gave a name to it as buffalo, and then you are telling everybody it's a buffalo. That is the gross nature, the gross side of that, right? There's a book called Vasudeva Mananam. It's a beautiful book. Laghu, it's a small book, Vasudeva Mananam, right? In there, they are talking about a person who takes to the process of meditation. And he lives in an ashram for that, right? And there, the sannyasi was there in that ashram. He gave a lot of instructions to him for meditation and told him, gave him Brahmopadesham and told him to meditate on that, right? And he had been trying very hard to control his mind. He's not able to. Even now, you know how difficult it is. If you got used to this mobile phone, it's very difficult to to keep it for a few hours and think that you don't need it. It will come back, something or the other will come and it will drag you back into it. Right? So this person, at that time there was no mobile phone when Vasudeva Menon was written. So thank God, they didn't have trouble. Right? So he was trying to meditate and he couldn't get focus on the mind. Right? So he came back to his guru and told him, I'm not able to do it. He said, no matter how much I try, the mind is not listening. Mind is, it is going this and that way, right? So the guru told him, for a few days, focus on your mind. Look at your mind, what is happening there, right? And think about it. Where is the mind going when you are meditating? Where is the mind going, he said. And come back and tell me, where is the mind going? And then I'll tell you what to do, he said. So he took that and went away, right? Mind will only go after something where it has got asakti. If it has attachment anywhere, it will go after that. You can see that in life also. A boy thinks about a girl, or a girl thinks about a boy, because of that asakti inside. Yeah. Or similarly, other things as well in life. Food, for example. Suppose you are like some jalebi or laddu or something like that, your mind will naturally go after that. When you want to eat something tasty, ice cream for example, you'll go after that. The mind will go after that. It's not. So asakti is there inside. This asakti is a very subtle thing and it's very difficult to pinpoint, and you are not even conscious of that because it happens like that. Comes out from inside, right? So if some attachment is somewhere, you will think about it, right? So Guru told the disciple that you find out what that is and then come back to me, he said. For many days the disciple went away and then he came back one day and he's finding it difficult to tell the Guru what the problem is. He had asakti somewhere, but he was finding it difficult to say it to the Guru because he felt very bad to say, thinking that he has, his mind has gone after that. So he asked him, what is it? He said, it is a cow, he said. It's a cow, right? And why this cow is you're giving so attachment to that? He says, my wife and children, they all died. They all died. And all I was left with was this good cow, which was giving me a lot of milk. And I brought up that cow with a lot of attachment to the cow. I brought it up. And all the time I looked after the cow, gave him plenty of grass to eat, bathed him, and given all facilities to be comfortable, right? And when I took sannyasam, I left that cow home. And I came away from there. I left her. In them days, home means they had other members also. So he left the cow with others. And he came, took sannyasam and left and came to the ashram, right? And whenever I sleep, this thought's coming back to me. What is the cow now doing? What's the cow doing now? Is it getting enough to eat? Or is it keeping... That, it's not leaving me, he said. That attachment to the cow has gone inside so much that due to that, always when I go into dream, straight away the cow comes first. Straight away the cow comes, right? We are laughing at it. But you think about it, a cow is an ordinary jiva, nothing but, right? If Krishna comes in the dream, it's nice. We'll be happy to have that. But it's not coming. But the cow is coming, right? So, Guru, when he heard this, Guru did not think of the cow as an ordinary jiva. He said, if any asakti comes in the mind, any asakti, it doesn't matter what it is, that asakti, to giving up asakti, is a very difficult job. If an asakti comes inside, to give up that asakti is a very difficult job, right? Everybody knows that. It's not easy to give it up, right? It is easy to tell people, oh, you give it up, but it's not so easy, right? So Guru says to him, do one thing, he said, for some time, you meditate on that cow. On your own, you sit there and you meditate on the cow. And do it and then come back and tell me what happens. So he went home again and he started meditating on the cow. And as soon as he went into meditation, the cow will come straight away, right? Then the guru told him that you have, as soon as you think about it, that form is coming now in your mind, right? And when that form comes, you are experiencing a bhavam inside. When that form comes, right? That bhavam, if you look at that yourself, you'll be able to change that bhavam. Bhavam is there, but you can change that bhavam. Why is that? Example again. In the temple, if you go, big temples, right? Different forms of incarnations will be there. Varaham, Malsyam, fish incarnation, Varaha incarnation, Narasimham incarnation. Then Krishna's form is there, Balaram's form is there, Ramchandra's form is there, Lord Shiva's form is there, Sri Parvati's form is there, different forms, right? When we go to the temple, when we see all those forms in different temples, that's why they build all these temples in the form. When you go there and when you see different forms, what do you think about that? You don't think about Varaham it is, or fish it is. You immediately think about Krishna's form is this, is it not? That's how you feel. You don't think, if you think it as Varaham, Varaham, what is Varaham? Varaham is a pig. You don't think of that form as a pig. Instead, what do you comes to your mind straight away? Oh, this is one of the Krishna's earlier incarnations, Varaham. Keshava Drada, Sugare Rupa, Jaya Jagadish Hari, isn't it? So when you go to the temple and when you see these different forms, everything you are able to see it as though it is Krishna's another form. Is it not? Varaham, similarly fish incarnation. Who will think about a fish? Tell me. Nobody will think about a fish. But when you see in the temple a fish incarnation shown in a picture or in the stone carved that form, many temples have that. The Shavadaram, they normally shows that, right? Out of that, Malsyam, Kurmam, another one, tortoise. Malsyam, Kurmam, Varaham, the three lowest ones, when you look at them, you don't look at them as fish, tortoise or boar, do you? When you look at them straight away, your mind is thinking, oh, this is Krishna's earlier incarnation. Straight away, your mind will not think about them as boar, fish or tortoise. Instead, you will think of them purely as Krishna's form, another form, in that way. So, if you are able to do that, he is saying, the guru says to this disciple, why did that happen in the temple when you went there, right? Shastram told you like that they are Krishna's incarnations. You have simply accepted it. Is it not? You have simply accepted it. Shastram told you so you have accepted it. So you had no difficulty when you went into the temple to offer obeisances to Varaham, offer obeisances to fish, offer obeisances to the tortoise. You have no problem at all. Because Shastram told you, you accepted it without any problem. Once you have accepted it, then in your mind, the perception is not boar, tortoise or Varaham. Perception is Krishna it is. That's the way you are accepting that, right? So, so this way, among other living entities also, if Shastram is saying to you, it is Krishna's manifestation, if you are able to accept it, then Krishna is saying, Namarupam will disappear. That's the only way Namarupam will go. And this is the reason you see in all the time Krishna is saying this. Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashyet Bhagavad Bhavam Atmana. Remember? In the first class devotee. First class devotee, Krishna's description in the Adarsha Skandam. Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashyet. That means Bhavam is important. Bhagavad Bhavam. This Bhagavad Bhavam decides everything, your spiritual life. It is this Bhagavad Bhavam, once it comes inside, you have got out of the problem then. Then no more Namarupam after that. Yeah? Sarvabhudeshu yappashyet Bhagavad Bhavam Atmana Bhudani Bhagavatyesha Savai Bhagavadottama. Yeah? So, this is, Krishna is saying that is devotee, first class devotee, pure devotee as they say. Pure devotee is not you put 2-3 people's photograph together and say stamping them all pure devotees. They won't become pure devotees like that. Till this bhavam comes. Bhavam is important. Bhavam is this. This is the best way to explain that. You go to the temple and you are seeing there, you are seeing the form, and straight away you are able to accept this is Krishna standing there. Why? Shastram told you so. And you are able to accept that. You go to the temple, Radha Gogulananda is standing there. Oh, this is Radha Gogulananda. You are able to offer obeisances to it. Suppose you are only thinking it is just a stone, you won't be able to offer obeisances. Is it not? You are offering obeisances because Shastram says that is Krishna's deity and it is being worshipped. So practically you have accepted inside it is Krishna. That is why you are, when you enter into the temple, nobody is creating any problem for you. You are falling down, offering obeisances to the deity. Why? Because you have accepted that as Krishna. That is why you are able to offer obeisances. Suppose in your mind, you are simply thinking, it is just marble, what else is that? If that was your thinking, you won't be able to offer obeisances, would you? But because this bhavam has gone inside, with the help of the shastram, you have taken it inside, that bhavam has grown. As much as that bhavam grows inside, the bhakti will also increase. So bhavam decides the bhakti, that bhavam. Yeah, so it is that bhavam that has caused you to... Now, with that bhavam, you are able to offer obeisances to the tortoise. There is a famous temple for Varaham, Varahamurti. Famous temple for fish also, Malsimurti. Because there are major incarnations, or major 10 incarnations, are they not? So therefore there are temples have been built for them. And you go there, people regularly coming, offering obeisances to them. And Varahamurti, it is Varahamurti's form, Varaham form it is. But one who are coming there, they don't think it is Varaham. Name is Varahamurti, but form is, for them, it is the absolute truth. Krishna itself for them. Right? So you understand now how form does not, it is the bhavam that creates inside matters, not the form what matters. Yeah. So just like he told this person, the guru told this disciple, this cow what you are thinking about that cow, it is coming in your meditation. He said, you keep thinking about that cow, and then what will happen is, one day the form will disappear. And that is Kapila Maharshi says in the Kapilam. You remember?
Yeah.
We discussed that.
Yeah.
That you will keep on, dhyanam increases, at the end the form will disappear. And form will disappear means Antaryami will come inside at that time. If you want, I can tell you that verse. You don't remember that? In the third canto. It is a fantastic verse how Kapila Maharshi discusses that in the 25th, Dhyana Yoga. Yeah, here it is. It is the 28th chapter, 35th verse. How dhyanam, eventually form disappears from the dhyanam. Muktashrayam yarhi nirvishayam viraktam nirvanam archadi manas sahasa yatharchi atmanam atra purusho avyavadhanam ekam anvikshade pratinivrta guna pravaha. That verse. We discussed it in Kapilam when we discussed Shrita Swami's commentary. That verse, we specifically talked about it. You can see that after Kapila Maharshi spoke about the process of dhyanam first. How dhyanam? How you build up the form inside. Sanchindayat Bhagavata Charanaravindam. All those verses. Right up to that 34th verse. He says, if the dhyanam becomes very strong inside, the form will disappear. Form will disappear. That's what happened. When the form disappears, Atma comes in. At that time you realize that it's not the form. You are that. Up to that time you are meditating on the form. When form disappears, your actual identity kicks in as Atma. Muktashrayam merhi nirvishayam viraktam nirvanam ruchyati manas sahasa yatharchi Atmanamatra purusho avyavadhanamegam anvikshade pratinivrta guna pravaha. You can read that at your own time, detailed way, how it is happening, right? So, in the same way, he said to him that if you keep on meditating that, eventually at some point in time the cow will disappear and then it will come to you, of the knowledge of the self, right? So, after some time, what happens? This Namarupam of the cow disappeared from his meditation, right? On that place, his bodham, consciousness, manifested, right? So there, the namarupam of the cow is asat, consciousness is sat. Do you understand what I'm saying? Consciousness is sat. It happens inside. This is through the dhyanam. It happened, right? So if you take that time, the sat, accept the sat, and reject that namarupam, and when he did that, this happened to him, and then he realized Brahman. Brahman realization. So that stage is the one before that, Brahman realization. That first he realizes he is all consciousness, and then he is realizing he is the same as Antaryami. That's what happens. First you worship a form, worship meditation on that form. Any form, it is like that. Krishna's form also, same thing. Worship on the form, and then meditation becomes very intense. At that time, finally, form will disappear, and then you realize you are Atma, your soul, consciousness. First you realize your consciousness, and then you realize that consciousness is nothing but same as Antaryami, Krishna inside as Antaryami. And that's the oneness, what they're talking about, right? So this story is in Vasudeva Mananam book. This is what happened, right? So if one person can use a cow like this and realize it, they are asking that in the same way with wife, husband, children, everything, right? Nothing. They are not asking you have to leave them and go. That's not what they are saying. But asakti, you have to not to allow that to grow. Asakti shouldn't be there, right? So if you are feeling asakti towards them, you don't have to hate them for that. That should not develop into hate towards anyone. We shouldn't hate anything in this world, right? But if the asakti is there, when their form comes in your mind, at that time, you have to start thinking that Krishna has come in that form. That's a way to eliminate that asakti. If you like this self-realization, how to spread it into the world outside, that is the process. Krishna is saying everything is Krishna here, nothing else. Chaitanyam, Krishna is Chaitanyam. And we are not getting that realization. So how to bring it in? And that process he is talking about, right? So, and if you are able to see them in that way, Krishna has come in those forms in front of us. If you start thinking like that, it will be beneficial for them as well, right? When you start thinking about them in that way, that is, Krishna has come in that form. And if you start dealing with them in that way, gradually that divinity will grow within them as well, right? So, it is based on this principle. You will see this famous statement, Upanishads. Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Atithi Devo Bhava. Why is it like this, this statement? To see mother, father, children, guests, and everyone as Deva. Adhiri Devo Bhava. Yeah, as Devo Bhava. So rishis know this psychology, knows this technique. So they have put that in the Upanishads. Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, Adhiri Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava. All to see them as Deva, manifestation of Krishna, right? So, and that is why they say that you will see, not now, in the olden days they'll say to the girls, you should see the husband as your Devam or God. You know, if you say this, you'll get beaten up nowadays. Say that, right? So that bhavam, how to create that bhavam inside, right? And so that, due to our ragadvesham, due to the ajnanam inside us, we have created ragadvesham between husband and wife. There will be so much ragadvesham always. Due to the ajnanam inside, in order to remove that ajnanam from inside, they are saying this. Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo, Atithi Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, right? So, family life itself, wherever we are, in whatever situation we are, then if you have this understanding and if you are cultivating it, then life becomes a tapas. Life becomes a tapas, right? To whomever you are attached very strongly, that attachment itself will become a stepping stone to to self-realization, yeah, or the divine experience. If you are able, this is all to be practiced for a long time to come to this, and one has to be conscious of all these things, right? That's all. Otherwise, if you don't do it, Maya will play. Maya will create trouble. Maya will create trouble. That's why Yadevi Sarvabhudeshu. Yeah. Sarvabhudeshu. Smriti Rupena Samsida. That's Smriti. All the time conscious that they are all, Krishna has sent them here. Krishna has come in those forms in my family and deal with them in that way. Right? Namastase, 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 namonama. So, now all these things what you have discussed now, when you hear all these things, very easy, is it not? You understand and it is easy, right? And when you hear, it is easy to understand, right? But when it comes to practical life, all becomes very difficult. It does not happen, right? So, in order not to forget it, it is for that purpose only, salsangam. Salsangam is for this kind of things, to remind us again and again what actually we are, what our relationship with the world is. If you are not remembering all these things, if you keep on remembering that, gradually it will go inside, and little by little, this ragadvesham inside and asakti inside will go, and all that asat, what you are dealing with, they are all asat. But because of ragadvesham inside, gradually that asat will go and it will become sat. It will become sat. This is what all over Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam Krishna has spoken in different ways. I can tell you, I mentioned it many times in many ways, but you may not have remembered all that. You remember in the Ekadasham, when Krishna finished that to Uddhava, he said this, did he not? At the end, Uddhava, all other things, Uddhava keeps saying, this is difficult, jnanam is difficult, bhakti is difficult, this is difficult, that's difficult. Ultimately, Krishna says to him, Uddhava, there is only one thing I have got to tell you, he said. That that's when he said this, yeah? He said that the these verses, yeah. When Krishna said ultimately, Handa, Te Kathayeshami, what can I say to you? He said that Brahmane Pulkase Stene, Brahmane Arke Spulingage, Akrure Krurage Cheva, Samadrik Panditomada. Samadrik is only possible when you realize they are all Krishna's manifestations. Naresho Vishnam Malbhavam, Pumso Bhavayato Achiral, Spardha, Asuya, Tiraskaram, Sahangaram, Vyandihi, Visarjas Mayamanan Swan, Drisham Vridamja Dehigim, Praname Dandavad Bhumo, Asha Chandala Ghokaram, Yaval Sarveshu Bhudeshu, Madbhavo Nobajayate, Tava Devo Upasida, Vang Manakaya Vrutipi. Krishna is saying that till you have this realization in all living entities, Yaval Sarveshu Bhudeshu, Madbhavam, that madbhava means this consciousness. No bhajayade, till it happens, tavadeva upasida, this upasana must continue. Vang mana kaya vrittivi, with the words, mind, everything. Then he said, sarvam vidyalpa brahmalpagam tasya, vidya alpamanishaya, paribashan ubaramil, sarvado mukta samshaya. No doubt about it, he'll be liberated once is brahmalpagam, sarvam brahmalpagam comes. Tasya vidya alpamanishaya, alpadhyanam. It is possible to get to that stage, Krishna is saying. Then he said, I am he sarvagalpanam sadrijino mato mama malbhavam sarvabhudeshu manovakaya vrittipi. So, this method, what Krishna is saying here, is the best, Krishna says, than all other processes. All processes are difficult. You see, the problem is, all these things we should have gone inside long ago, at an early stage in life, and practiced throughout life, so that by the time leaving the body, you are in a safe state. when we are at this old age now, to take all this on board and to practice it, after living a life of full of ragadvesham and sukadukham and everything, it becomes an unsurmountable task now at this stage. Yeah. So anyway, Krishna is saying like this. The reason why he discussed this satta asatta so detailed in the Bhagavad Gita is for this reason, that your realization is related to these two things, satta and asatta. Satta and asatta will decide how you go further in your spiritual path. Yeah? So that is why that example is important. So one by one, you have to remove all the ragadvesham from inside in this way. And in order to remove that ragadvesham, you have to remove the asat from inside us. The asat, what is inside us, you have to get rid of that and see the sat. And because when you see the namarupam, that is when you feel ragadvesham, isn't it? From namarupam comes ragadvesham, right? But without seeing the namarupam, one should be able to see everything as Narayana, Krishna, right? So, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa spoke about the same thing. What he said was, he said, some people could be very cruel in this world, right? You shouldn't go to them saying, that, oh, this is also Narayana, and embrace them. Then you will be in trouble. But you can offer respect to them from a distance. From a distance, right? You are not thinking about them as Narayana or Krishna. You're not thinking like that because not to improve them, but if you develop any ragam dvesham inside you, therefore there will be disturbance in you. So not to get disturbances to develop inside, from a distance you offer obeisances to them. That's all. They may be cruel people. It is not for this realization, sarvabhudeshu yapashyat bhagavad bhavam, is for that purpose. So that within you, you don't develop any negative emotions from them, about them. Negative emotions about them, right? And so, therefore, stay at a distance and offer respects to them, and thereby no create ragadvesham inside about them. Because people are different type in this world. You normally we'll deal with them and have ragadvesham with everybody in some form or the other. But this process, what Krishna is talking about, is to stay away from them if they are troublesome people, but still they do not create any negative emotions inside, so therefore you don't create ragadvesham there in that way. All these things are, we are seeing the same thing from different dimensions. You are looking at it, right? The goal ultimately is this, that the movement inside has to stop. Of the mind. The movement of the mind has to stop, right? Whichever way you stop it, doesn't matter. It has to stop, right? And whether it is through ragadvesham it is happening, giving up the ragadvesham, or alternatively you go into seclusion. Live alone. Stay away from the whole world as much as possible. Completely aloof. That way also you can become free from the impact of this ragadvesham, right? So, so ultimately, Krishna says that is Tattva Darshanam. Tattva Darshanam, right? To see the whole creation as Krishna's manifestation. Ishvara Swarupam, Jagat, right? And that is a puja. And it is on this principle Vedam is explaining things on this background. Let me explain that, what it is, right? All the rishis were like that. Yeah? What they did, they say, sun is Krishna. Yeah? Moon is Krishna. Space is Krishna. Akasham is Krishna. The Agni, fire is Krishna. Jalam, water is Krishna. Everything is divine for them, for the rishis, right? And all living entities and everything, all relationships, everything is divine for them, right? And that is how, when you see the Vedic hymns, if you read the translation also, you will think, what are they talking about? It gives you an impression. Suppose you have educated in the modern system, right? You take the Rigvedam or Yajurvedam, and you start reading the hymns, and some of them have translations available. Even if you read the translation, why you are not able to connect with it? You don't feel any connection with it, isn't that? You think, what's this all about? Vedic hymns, I'm saying. Rigvedam, if you take Rigvedam and start reading through it, and you see the translation, you'll start thinking, what is all this got to do with God, you'll think. Because you are coming from the God background. These God people, they can't relate with all these things. People who only know God. They only know God. Someone who is up there controlling everything. That's not Vedam. Vedam is not that. Vedam is like this. Rishis have experienced so many things. And their own understanding is this, that everything is that same one truth. Sun, the moon, the planets, the sky, the five material elements, all of them is nothing but Him. They came to that realization. Yeah? So, therefore, with that realization only, that is why you find in the Vedic philosophy and Vedic culture, mountains are all worshipped, rivers are worshipped, ocean is worshipped, isn't it? And similarly, everything in the Prakriti, forest is worshipped, plants are worshipped, trees are worshipped, worshipping everything. Where did this come from? This comes from this understanding. Or Rishi is saying that everything is nothing but a manifestation of the same Chaitanyam. Same Chaitanyam. That is why everything is worshipable. Everything is worshipable, right? And they gave divinity on everything. Ganga is divine. Yamuna is divine. Narmada is divine. Kaveri is divine. Everything is divine. Why this divinity for all the rivers like this? It is coming from this perception. Rishi's perception of Prakriti. They are saying the whole creation is nothing but Him, that consciousness. And they try to inject that generation after generation after generation, and it stayed all these so many thousands of years. People went to bathe in Ganga River, Yamuna River, with this awareness that it is Krishna's another form, that Ganga River or Yamuna River. And they bathe in the river, right? But what we have done, we have demystified the whole thing. And we have said that this is nothing but molecules, two parts of oxygen and one part of hydrogen. We made it like this. And we taught to others also, because we know better, we say. You think rishis were stupid? We are the stupid ones. They gave us how to see the rivers and the mountains. We demystified them. It is a mystery, it is, isn't it? It is a mystery that they were able to perceive everything like that. And we demystified them by saying that it is molecules and atoms and this and that. Yeah, so chemicals and all that. So what happened? When you develop this, even if you kill somebody, we are saying, oh, it's only atoms and molecules at the end. I kill someone and say it's only atoms and molecules. Why you get so serious about it? So we become criminals, and we also have become the criminal mentality comes into us. By increasing the number of police force and bringing law, you won't be able to stop all these things. If you have to stop these things, you have to change the consciousness of the people. There is no alternative to it. This is why Vedam and the Rishis never believed in like the way what we are doing now. We have no problems, criminal problems. Everybody is saying there is not enough force and people in the police force. In the first instance, why people are becoming criminal like this? That's because they have become so jadam. There is no knowledge inside, and they become like animals. So what do you do? So the real solution is that you give them knowledge, bring them back into the spiritual life, consciousness, right? So otherwise you will kill people freely without, it's only a question of time, you will kill each other also. There won't be any difficulty, and they won't feel any remorse on that. They won't feel anything bad about it, right? So the benefit is that if this divine bhavam, divya bhavam, if that comes inside, we get the benefit from that, right? Everything what you see in from a divine perspective, right? So the whole creation itself is Krishna's another surupam, consciousness another surupam, right? If that happens, then you won't give trouble to anybody after that. If that realization comes, right? Even the rivers, you'll be very careful when you're bathing in the river. Because once you know it is Krishna Swarupam, you won't be difficult to offend the river in any way, right? In the olden days, people when they bathed in Ganga river, they won't even spit in the river. That is how conscious they were. Sometimes you gargle the mouth with the water and you will spit there, isn't it? But you won't spit in the Ganga river. Because Ganga's purity and that divinity attached to Ganga is so strong in people's mind, they won't even spit. They won't gargle and spit in the water into the river. That is how it was, right? So, and if somebody notices someone doing that, they will be pulled up for that. Others will tell you that what you have done is so bad thing. That, yeah. So now what is happening? Go and see the Ganga, what they have done. All the factories, they are sending all the sewage and all the, what do they call, the from the factories, you know, factory will have a lot of different waste. Kind of waste, yeah, factory waste. They say, it's river only, send it to Ganga, let it go through that, yeah. So, similarly, plastic covers, plastic, everywhere, especially in Benares if you go, you will see there, it's too much there, right. And some people, what they do, they put flowers in the plastic cover and they will sign some mantra and put it in Ganga river. And that becomes a waste for them, this plastic, that what has gone inside, right? They'll say Ganga Mata Ki Jai and all that, and then they'll put this plastic out to take it to the Ganga river, right? It is just like, to love, because of love, you're beating up your own mother. Something similar to that, yeah? So, then this polity, and thousands and millions of people come, and they put all these plastic bottles and plastic covers into the river. You can imagine the amount of waste that is gets accumulated in that, yeah? So, so this is about Ganga river. You know what happens now in the villages? Because this plastic has come so much in everything. Packing is very important these days. Vastu inside is not important. It will be the lowest stuff, but it will be packaged so well. Look at this one now. You read all what is written. Do I need to know all these things? What is in that bottle? Calories? And the composition, and a lot of English words used there to glorify the coconut water inside. Is it not? So you take this packet and you start thinking that to give me some coconut water, do I need all this? So much energy has gone into manufacturing this. This is the modern world. Everything outside show, big show, plastic cap, expiry date, and what else? 100% pure coconut water, not from concentrate. As I said before, that story about
the child.
Child who knows only the coconut tree. In the same way. What is not all, it is all attributed to that and told. And when it was manufactured, the address was the company. Basically, this whole packaging business, right? So, because of all this, now, in villages, when you have all these kind of things, this is the only way you can buy. In the olden days, if you want a coconut, you go to the shop. What will happen? He'll cut it straight away, give it to you. Not even straw. You have to drink it from that coconut as it is directly. Right? Now, if you don't get that, you get this. People find this is much better than the older one. Right? But it creates this thing outside, and they'll throw it away. Village, there is no system of garbage collection and all that. All over the roads and all over the streets, this is lying there. Our poor cows, they go and eat them. This plastic thing. Different types of plastic. They chew everything, isn't it? They'll eat it and then they'll go and lie down and chew it again, again, again. This whole thing, plastic, right? So, and then what happens? Cows have no milk. Because they have not eaten what they're supposed to eat. They've eaten all this plastic. When you start milking the cow, there is no milk coming from the cow. And people are asking why this. And they don't have any taste for the milk and for the grass anymore. They only like these things now. Cows enjoying all these cartons. And I don't know whether they're reading all these things, but they're enjoying the cartons anyway. All different types of colors, different types of cartons they're eating. Right? So the thing is that Asatya, you have to get rid of through Satya, Sadbuddhi. The buddhi of the Satya should help you to get rid of the Asatya. And Jadam has
has no existence. That's what he said in that verse, you remember? Jadam has no existence. Nasado vidyade bhava, nabhavo vidyade sada. Right? Chaitanyam has existence. I exist. Right? That bodham, their pratya, consciousness, awareness, that is called sattva. So, except that, everything else is asattva. Except that consciousness inside everyone, what is present, except that, everything else in this creation is asattva. We have to see that very clearly while dealing with the world. And in that way, we have to build our understanding also on this basis, on that verse. Right? Asattva, if you realize that, you have become free. So, asattva basically means it does not have an independent existence. We are giving existence to it because we are sattva. The sattva in us is giving validity for that to exist. Do you understand? That asattva becomes sattva for us because there is sattva inside us. Sattva is giving reality to that. Otherwise, it is all asattva. It's all asattva. Right? So, in other words, only if I am there, all the other things are existing. Isn't it? If me, the sattva, exist, only then all the asattva exist. And in the ultimate analysis, right, in my Anubhuti Mandalam, only we exist. Only me exist. My existence is only the reality in my Anubhuti Mandalam, right? That means in Anubhava Mandalam, only me exist. Everything else is Drishya Prapancham, what you are seeing as Asat, right? And that doesn't exist, right? So these two things Krishna has spoken, Sat and Asat, is to be seen like this: Vishayam, Vishayi, Drikka, Drishyam, then me, the world, Aham, Idam. One who has got complete clarity on this all the time, Krishna is referring to as Tattvadarshi. One who has got this clarity. Aham, Idam. Me, Vishayam, Vishayi, Drikka, Drishyam, then me, the world, in this way, able to separate it all the time, such a person is Tattvadarshi. So you see that verse? Nasado vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada, ubhayorabhi drishtvandam, stanayor tattvadarshivi. The tattvadarshi is that person who is seeing that, and they will not feel distressed. They will not. And because his attention is all the time on this bodham, consciousness, and the anubhuti. And this tattvadarshanam, Krishna says, one should practice, right? One who has to practice that. Drashtam shilam. Drashtam shilam means that one has to practice it. There is no other way. This sattva, asattva. Yeah? This is there in the Bhagavad Gita, because the rest of the Bhagavad Gita is to how to practice this. Through bhakti, jnanam, everything. How to get to that state. But the fundamental basic is this thing. Fundamental principle is this, right? Yeah. So, that's what he is saying here. Tad idi sarva namam, sarvam cha brahmam. Tasya nama tad idi talbhavaha, tattvam brahmano yathatmyam. Tad drashtum shilam yesham te tattvadarshina tai tattvadarshibhi. That's what he is talking about. Yeah. So, that tattvadarshinam or tattvadarshi is that one who knows that this is all brahmam, that yathartyam, yathatmyam, sarva namaha sarvam cha brahma tasya nama tad idi talbhava tattvam brahmanam, brahmano yathatmyam tad idrashtam shilam. So that is about that verse. And then you can see, the thing is to make it a little more clear, that you know in the music, if you know a little bit of the classical music, Carnatic music and Hindustani music and classical concerts, if you listen, there is what they call it a Shruti and Ragam. Yeah? Shruti is in the background.
So when they explain that, say you stop one kirtanam you sung, and when you start the next kirtanam, the Shruti will continue. And then the ragam comes in later, right?
And when you started singing further, that means you need to have a little bit of experience of this classical music. Otherwise, you won't understand. If you listen to this pop music and all the other things, you won't understand it. Because that's different. But in classical music, this is very clearly, you can experience that, right? So once a new ragam comes, the Shruti will become blend with the ragam. At that time, the Shruti won't be noticed. Otherwise, Shruti will be going on in the background, right? And when you stop one particular kirtanam you have sung, and then for some time there will be a gap, and then at that time you will hear the Shruti again. And then when you start the ragam, next ragam, after some time, the Shruti and ragam will blend again, and then Shruti will go. So in this way, similarly, why this example is, our chittavritti is going on continuously inside, right? And when chittavritti comes, and after some time, you will start noticing behind this chittavritti, this Shruti, which is Atma, inside. You will start aham, that awareness, bodham, that is the Shruti. When you start hearing that, when you start listening to the Shruti, you won't listen to the kirtanam or the song, right? Similarly, if your awareness, Shraddha, has fallen on that under the Atma, the awareness has fallen on the Prajna has fallen on the, in the Shraddha has fallen on the Prajna, Shraddha has fallen on the Prajna, then when Chittavrittis are coming, your Shraddha won't go into that. These are all finer, refined situation, I'm saying. For a conditioned soul, when spiritual knowledge, realization happens, at that stage, what happens inside, in a person, this is what happens. That if his Shraddha has fallen on the prajna means that consciousness, if it has completely fallen on that, even when Chittavrittis are coming inside him, his Shraddha won't fall on to that, right? And that is what is called Shraddha in the Satta. Shraddha in the Satta. So without Satta, you will not have that anubhuti of the Satta, right? Every one of us know, I exist. It is there. But if the Shraddha can fall on that, you will notice that Chittavritti will gradually stops, and Anandam will come, and that is the principle behind it. It is the best possible way to explain that, what happens inside. Now what happened? The mind has gone into the world and it got used to it, everything in this world, right? And on its own, it won't come back. That's the difficulty, you see. On its own, it won't come back. Mind won't come back, right? And it will come back when it gets a lot of kick from outside, from the world, in different ways, kicks, you know, pain. If it gives you a lot of pain, then mind will slowly say, oh, this is not a good thing, want to get away from that. So that is how you become, little vairagyam will come to us inside, right? So little by little, to cultivate that habit of looking inwards rather than outside. What does that mean? It means that when these different chittavrittis are coming, or any emotions are coming, with a lot of attention, full alertness, start thinking that who is experiencing this. Start thinking who is having this experience of these different emotions, right? Not analyze the emotions that has come, rather asking this question, who is having this? Where is it coming? Who is experiencing it? Who is having it? That way, rather than looking at the emotions, right? And not to analyze it, whether it's a good or bad emotions, in that way. Instead, turn the attention, Shraddha, towards the one who is experiencing it, this question, right? And because emotions and thoughts, what's coming, if you start analyzing that, that's all asatya. You're wasting your time. That's what we normally do, isn't it? Suppose somebody irritated you and you got very angry with that person. And then you will analyze everything what he has said and what he has done. That is not spiritual. That's not spiritual. But instead, when that emotion happened, if you ignoring all that what he said or did, able to start looking at yourself and thinking that, where is this affecting these thoughts and emotions? And then you will realize that it is affecting your inside, andaryam, the Atma inside, right? If you give your attention there, you will realize that all other things were asatya, that is the satya. The one who was experiencing it is the satya. All the experiences what has come from the object or the person is all asatya. In this way, constantly you have to separate them out. Satya and asatya, all the time. In all the dealings, all transactions, every time, the satya, asatya awareness, we have to keep growing inside. And then Krishna is saying here, if the attention has gone towards the satya, then what happened? You will be amazed by that. What happens at that time? All that emotions and thought what has come, that will not be, will not causing any problem for you. Not only that, if you suppose any emotions came like that, hard emotions, strong emotions, right? If you suppress them, it will cause problem. If you suppress the emotions, right? You will lose a lot of your energy because you have suppressed them inside, right? If you allow that to happen, then conflicts will build up inside. Due to that, and if you suppress them, you will have a conflict inside. You don't know what to do with it. That emotion will create problem inside. If you express it, also it will cause problem. Is it not? Suppose you got angry with someone, and the emotions that has come out from that, it comes inside, and suppose I ponder over that again and again, if I have to react to that, and by punching that person or abusing them at person or something like that, what happens then? That means you have expressed it outwardly. If you have expressed it, it will cause problems. It will only grow problem. Suppose you have suppressed it inside, also it is a problem. What Krishna is saying is, see what is satya and asatya and deal with it. And then if you know it is asatya, it won't cause you any problem because it is asatya. That separation is required, he is saying here. And this separating satya and asatya is what is called in Shastram Nyasam. You heard this word Nyasam? Nyasam you will find mentioned in the Bhagavatam also. Taranyasam, Leghunyasam, Hridayanyasam, so many Nyasams. In Sandram, when they do the worship, you will see this touching at different points. All this is a part of that Nyasam. Everything is very technical, it is. There's one man called John Woodruff. This John Woodruff wrote a famous book. He came to India to study this Tantra Vidya. He was very attracted towards that. What happened was, there's a whole story about it. You have to read that book. Can't remember everything what happened. Actually what happened was, he was a judge. In them days, Britishers were judges in the court. Right? So he was a judge in the court. And there was a court case going on. In the court case, right? And one of the witnesses, he was questioning them. They were questioning, you know, the lawyers, the British system, they were doing there, questioning the complaint and all that, right? So when he was questioning him, that person answered something and the judge could not believe it. How could he answer that question? It was a difficult question. I don't remember now. I'll have to look at it. He answered it in such a way, The judge could not believe that he could give an answer such precisely, right? So after the case was all dismissed, or something happened, judgment was given, he wanted to find out how that person was able to give such a description of the incident, what happened, something like that, right? So that person, then somebody told him that he is a acharya in the Tantra Vidya. In the Tantra Vidya is an acharya. So he wanted to find out what this Tantra Vidya is. He started studying, both husband and wife, studying this Tantra Vidya. And they gave up the job, they had money, I suppose, and they lived somewhere in Haridwar or somewhere, lived and studied this Tantra very seriously, and they wrote a famous book after that. He has written a book, John Woodruff, became very popular, that book became very popular, right? And he is saying, he realized that the power inside what we have got, which he was not aware of before, you see. So, there this nyasam, everything comes, right? And what it is that all the emotions what we coming to us, we are able to offer it into the fire of our self, home, inside, yeah? And ultimately, first of all the emotions and thoughts, everything comes like that. Finally, your ego also, ahankaram also. Krishna has said all that in the Bhagavad Gita. It is there. It's there. We'll come to that. Yeah? That, so, ultimately, how you offer into that fire of knowledge, including yourself, the ego also, ahankaram, that is coming there, right? So, I know it is a little bit more, for this you got to little bit study the Tantram side also. Because Tantriya Vidya elaborately explains all these things. And it is interesting for young men to learn this. They enjoy this, studying this Tantram. Tantram becomes like this. They can sense a lot of things what we can't sense. Yeah. And those who are very serious in the Tantra Vidya, some of them were amazing people they were. The amount of subtlety they had about knowledge of the people, knowledge of the emotions, thoughts and everything, right? So, anyway, Krishna is saying here that if you know this satta and asatta properly, right, and there is a name for that, it is called Hridaya Vidya. It is spoken in the Upanishads, Hridaya Vidya. You know, in Upanishads what you find is different techniques for cultivating spiritual knowledge. Yeah? Panchagni Vidya is there. Akshay Kausala Vidya. Dahara Vidya. And Akshay Purusha Vidya, Dahara Vidya, Upakosala Vidya. There is so many Vidyas different rishis have developed in different ways. You will see them explained in the Upanishads about all that. Right? So this is called Hridaya Vidya or Sad Vidya. How to turn from asata to sata, and one who knows this, Krishna is saying he is tattvadarshi. He is tattvadarshi. So this tattvadarshanam comes, people with jnanam, knowledge, who are studying Upanishad seriously, they develop this knowledge through this process of sata asata, and through Tantra Vidya they develop in a different way these things, right? What they are saying is, don't fight with the asata. Fighting with asata won't help. Asat has no existence. You have to think like that. Fighting with the asata means you are given reality to it. Krishna is saying asat has no bhavam. Remember that word? Asat has no bhavam. That's why asata, you don't fight with that. Asata means what? All this asata, where is it? It's in the mind. So don't fight with the mind. He's saying, you won't win, you will lose it, right? And that is why... Okay, we'll stop here today. We'll continue on Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.